In a logo, clouds swirl in a blue sky. The letters WB appear in a golden shield. Warner Home Video. A message. This film has been formatted to fit your screen. This motion picture has been rated R, restricted by the Classification and Rating Administration. A blue tone photo of a studio lot wavers, then turns into the WB shield. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Now clouds drift over a jagged coastline. Below, light from the rising sun shimmers on rippling waters where rocky islets dot a bay. Elsewhere, silhouetted mountain ranges stretch to the horizon above a grassy, wind-blown plain.
They say Japan was made by a sword. They say the old gods tipped a coral blade into the ocean, and when they pulled it out, four perfect drops fell back into the sea, and those drops became the islands of Japan. I say Japan was made by a handful of brave men. Warriors willing to give their lives for what seems to have become a forgotten word. Honor.
On the grass, a seated black-robed figure with a shaved head faces a rugged hillside. The dark-eyed Japanese man sits perfectly still with his eyes closed. Cross-legged, he keeps his hands folded at his knees. Now the view merges. In a fog-shrouded forest, a banner unfurls, showing a tiger baring its teeth and claws. Half-dozen helmet-clad warriors stand in a clearing, thrusting spears toward a real tiger. The bald man continues his meditation. The white tiger lunges. As a warrior in a horned helmet prods his spear, the animal's gaze fixes on us. Back on the plane, the bald man opens his eyes with a start. The view fades to black. A Japanese character appears along with the title, The Last Samurai. Now, in a cluttered room, a long-haired, bearded man sips from a flask.
Ladies and gentlemen!
Nearby, a mustache man on a stage addresses a large gathering. Words appear, San Francisco, 1876.
Our nation's centennial by bringing you a true American hero. One of the most decorated warriors this country has ever known. Winner of the Medal of Honor. For his gallantry on the hallowed ground of Gettysburg. He is late of the 7th Cavalry and the triumphant campaign against the most savage of the Indian nations. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Captain Nate Aldrin.
The presenter applauds before a painted backdrop depicting Native Americans on horses. Backstage, the long-haired Aldrin glances up with steely eyes.
Nathan!
A brass band plays nearby.
Ladies and one moment. Ladies and
the presenter heads off stage and faces the long-haired captain.
God damn you, Aldrin. Get out there. This is your last performance. You're fired. Now get out there.
Aldrin hoists himself up with his rifle.
Come on. I'm sick of this. Come on. Yes!
As the army captain takes the stage, the presenter leads the crowd in applause. A gray-haired, bushy-browed man looks on. Aldrin clutches his rifle.
Thanks, Mr. McCabe. You are too kind.
A man holds up cue cards.
This, ladies and gents, is the gun that's winning the West. Why, many's the time I found myself...
Aldrin cups his hand over his narrowed eyes.
Surrounded by...
As boys crank a winch, miniature Native Americans and soldiers move across the hill backdrop.
Angry hostiles with nothing but this rifle between me and a certain and gruesome death. But let me tell you, folks, the red man is a fearsome enemy. And if he'd have had his way, why, this scalp of mine would be long gone. And there'd be a balder man standing before you today.
As Aldrin stares tipsily at the grinning crowd, his smile fades.
Like those poor bastards out there. On the little bighorn.
The cue card holder eyes McCabe curiously.
Body stripped bare. Mutilated.
A bearded gentleman bows his head.
Left to rot in the sun.
The gray-haired man rests his chin on his hand, watching Aldrin load the Winchester.
This, ladies and gentlemen, the 73 lever action. Trapper.
7-shot capacity. Accurate. 400 yards, one round per second. Now, son, have you ever seen what this could do to a man? This would blow a hole in your daddy 6 inches wide. That's right, Missy.
He winks at a woman.
This beauty. Well, you could kill yourself 5, 6, 7 braves without ever having to reload. Note the patented loading port. And the smooth cocking action.
He aims at McCabe, then fires above him. Spectators duck as Algren blasts the lids off a line of boilers. A shot glances off a nearby bell. Behind the cue cards, McCabe heaves panting breaths. Algren holds up the Winchester.
My thanks on behalf of those who died. In the name of better mechanical amusements and commercial opportunities.
He tosses McCabe the rifle.
Mr. McCabe here will take your orders. God bless you all.
The gray-haired man watches Algren walk backstage. Later, he waits by an alley door as the captain stumbles out.
I must say, Captain, you've a flair for the old melodrama.
You're alive.
I am indeed.
He claps Algren's back.
Your man Custer says to me, we're going to the Little Bighorn. Says I, what's this wee stuff? It's the walking ticket for me. 9 lives I have, but I tell you what else I have. I have a good job for the both of us. God knows it looks as if you're going to need one real soon.
What kind of a job?
The only job you're fit for, Boyle. A man's job.
They walk down a street lined with houses.
Unless, of course, you get your heart set in a career in the theater.
In a restaurant, the gray-haired veteran leads Algren to a table.
Nathan!
A cavalryman rises.
Just listen to what your man has to say.
It's been a while. It's good to see you.
Algren ignores his handshake.
Nathan Algren, I'd like you to meet Mr. Omura from Japan and his associate, whose name I've given up trying to pronounce. Sit down, please.
The round-faced Omura and his lanky associate bow. As Algren takes a seat, he addresses a waiter.
Whiskey.
Now, Japan's got it in mind to become a civilized country. And Mr. Omura here is willing to spend what it takes to hire white experts to train their army. And if we play our cards right, the Emperor grants the U.S. exclusive rights to supply arms.
The slick-haired cavalryman watches as Algren sips his whiskey, swirling it in his mouth.
We'll have an agreement with Winchester Company. I'm certain Mr. Omura here has some concept of what an agreement is.
Your performances for the Winchester Company bring you $25 a week. We will pay you $400 a month.
The gray-haired veteran rolls his eyes. Algren meets Amura's gaze.
5. For each.
He claps the veteran's back.
And another 500 when we get the job done. How many other genuine heroes you got lined up?
As Amura's associate whispers, subtitles appear. He's rude. That's how it is here, a land of cheap traders.
Whiskey.
Algren hands his glass to a waiter.
Who will we be training your boys to fight?
His name is Katsumoto Moritsugu. He was once the Emperor's teacher. He's samurai.
Samurai?
The word you might use is warrior.
Mr. Omura is familiar with our experiences dealing with renegades.
Is he?
He's even read your book. Captain Algren's study of the tribes was a crucial factor in our defeat of the Cheyenne.
Chuckling, Algren glances over at the gray-haired veteran, who stays tight-lipped. As Amur and the cavalry officer grin politely, Algren rocks forward, thumping the table. Amur's eyes shift.
Please excuse. What is funny?
The captain waves his hand dismissively.
The Corps back together again. It's just so
The lanky henchman gazes sternly. A large red birthmark covers one cheek.
Excuse me.
Algren drains his glass as he rises.
Use the necessities.
He claps the old veteran on the shoulder and steps away. The cavalryman rises.
This isn't a problem. I'll just talk to him for a minute.
Colonel Bagley, we contacted you because you are Captain Algren's superior officer, and you assured us of his participation.
He'll do it. I just need a minute.
Bagley follows Algren into an adjoining room.
Nathan.
Algren stops and faces the colonel.
I did what I was ordered to do out there. And I have no remorse. So what do you say we put the past behind us?
Algren lowers his gaze.
You want me to kill Japos? I'll kill Japos.
I'm not asking you to kill anybody.
You want me to kill the enemies of Japos? I'll kill the enemies of Japos. Rebs or Sioux or Cheyenne. For $500 a month, I'll kill whoever you want. But keep one thing in mind. I'd happily kill you for free.
Bagley's gaze lingers on the captain, then he heads back toward Amur's table. Twilight. At sea, sunlight glitters on the waves around a ship with furled sails. On deck, Alwyn wears a dark suit. He peers toward the sun on the horizon.
July 12th, 1876. There is some comfort in the emptiness of the sea. No past, no future.
The snowy peak of Mount Fuji lies ahead.
And then at once I am confronted by the hard truth of present circumstances.
Nighttime, he opens a beaded buckskin pouch.
I have been hired to help suppress the rebellion of yet another tribal leader. Apparently, this is the only job for which I am suited.
In a cabin, Algren opens a small journal.
I am beset by the ironies of my life.
He gulps a drink, then opens a suitcase and gazes at a collection of military medals and a cavalry uniform. He takes out the coat, faces a mirror, and puts it on. As Algren pulls his wool coat over his shoulders, he peers soberly at the mirror. A flash shows a teepee burning as a Cheyenne woman and child run and fall while cavalry officers observe. Algren takes off the coat. Daytime. As the ship approaches a sprawling bay city, words appear. Yokohama Harbor, 1876. Dressed in his civilian clothes, Algren stands on deck, eyeing the bustling streets and the tightly packed, slope-roofed buildings. Now Bagley and his men disembark on a port teeming with umbrella-carrying pedestrians. Rickshaw runners wait by their rigs, and Algren and the gray-haired veteran descend the wooden gangplank. As they pass a fishmonger's cart, a plump European man in a white coat, vest, pants, and straw hat approaches the captain.
Captain Algren, I presume?
Yes.
Oh, jolly good. How do you do? Simon Graham.
In a rickshaw.
20 years ago, this was a sleepy little town. Now look at it.
You see, the Emperor's mad for all things Western, and the samurai believe it's changing too fast. In fact, the ancient and the modern are at war for the soul of Japan. So your new employer, Mr. Umura, is bringing in every Western expert he can get his hands on.
Lawyers from France, engineers from Germany, architects from Holland, and now, of course, warriors from America. I came over with the British trade mission, years ago. I was so relieved of my position. I had a rather unfortunate tendency to tell the truth in a country where no one ever says what they mean. So now, I very accurately translate other people's lives.
Women pass in bright kimonos. Later, a man leads Bagley, Graham, and Algren up a long stone staircase.
For 2,000 years, no emperor was even seen by a commoner. You have to realize what an absolute treat this is, what an honor. It's all highly ritualized, of course. You may look at him, but do not speak, unless spoken to, obviously. If he stands, you must bow. If he bows, you must bow lower. Do I look presentable? Haven't worn it in a decade. Rather snug around the midriff.
Now in the Imperial Palace, dignitaries line a carpet leading to a canopied throne. In it, a slight man sits in shadow. Omura stands beside its curtains. At the far end of the carpet, Algren, Graham, and Bagley approach the throne.
And bow.
The three men bow.
The Divine Emperor Meiji bids you welcome. He is grateful for the assistance your country offers. We hope to accomplish the same national harmony you enjoy in your homeland.
Omura, America には元々そこで暮らしていた民がいるというが、直接戦ったことはあるのか?
The Emperor is most interested in your American Indians, if you have fought against them in battle.
We have, Your Highness. The Red Man is a brutal adversary.
Algren 隊に聞いてほしい。その民は戦の前、わしの羽で飾り、顔に色を塗るというが、本当か?恐怖心はないのか?
The Emperor wishes to ask Captain Algren if it is true they wear eagle feathers and paint their faces before going into battle, and that they have no fear.
Bagley and Graham glance at Algren.
They are very brave.
彼らはとても勇敢でした。
As the Emperor stands, Graham glances quickly at the officers.
Bow.
As they bow deeply, the young Meiji emerges from his shadowy throne canopy. Algren eyes the Emperor's smooth skin and boyish face.
Thank you very much.
The Emperor gives the Westerners a slight bow, then re-enters the canopy and sits at his throne. Algren straightens with his gaze fixed on Meiji.
And step back.
They follow Graham's instructions.
Step back. Step back. And turn.
Now on a field, Algren and the old veteran face the Japanese regiment.
Right, you little bastards! You will stand up straight or I will personally shit-kick every Far Eastern buttock that appeared before my eyes!
The recruits come to attention.
Well done, Sergeant.
When you understand the language, sir, everything falls into place.
Later, Algren inspects the troops.
Rifles at the ready!
Order the Denizachnovsky!
The second rank!
July 22nd, 1876. For 6 months' work, I am to receive 3 years of captain's pay, teaching Orientals to soldier.
Bagley and Amuro look on.
Help!
They are an army of conscripts. Most of them are peasants who have never even seen a gun.
Later at a blackboard.
They are led by General Hasegawa, a man of small stature who nonetheless commands enormous respect.
Later.
What can the general tell me about this man, this samurai? Katsumoto.
Bagley faces Hasegawa. Now Algren writes in his journal.
He seems to have great knowledge of Katsumoto and his rebellion. I will count on his help when facing the samurai.
Who supplies her weapons?
Again with Hasegawa.
Katsumoto no longer dishonors himself by using firearms, you see.
He uses no firearms.
You see, to those who honor the old ways, Katsumoto is a hero.
How well does he know this man?
Well, the general and Katsumoto fought together for the Emperor.
He fought with the samurai.
Smiling, Graham glances at the general.
He is samurai.
As Algren meets Hasegawa's gaze, the venerable man bows curtly. Now Algren studies illustrative woodcuts.
You must understand, Katsumoto pledged his sword to defend the Emperor. They say that the samurai's sword is his soul. They're paradoxical people, samurai. I've been trying to write a book about them for years, but they tend to give very much themselves.
The bastards are still wearing armor.
Yes, and when the Irish were still comporting themselves in loincloths, these chaps were already the most sophisticated warriors on earth.
I need more detailed information than their battle tactics.
I have several more books just waiting to be translated.
Oh, the captain will be speaking the lingo in no time. You should hear him blathering on at Blackfoot.
Really? A fellow linguist? Oh, capital. Oh, come on, sir. A word or two in the savage tongue. Just hello or goodbye or no. Cut his tongue out and boil him in oil.
Early day tomorrow, Captain Darren. It's about bedtime, isn't it?
I've always had a dread fascination with scalping. I've never quite understood its technique.
The sergeant shifts his gaze from the grim-faced captain to the grinning Englishman.
Imagine someone who hates you with the utmost intensity. Grabbing a handful of your hair while you're lying prostrate and helpless.
Ooh. Algren rises, his eyes locked on the portly translator.
Then scraping a dull blade of a rusty knife around your scalp with a saw-like motion. And let your imagination grasp, if you can, Mr. Graham, the effect of a strong, quick jerk.
He grabs Graham's hair.
On the turf of your hair. To release any clinging particles would have on your nervous system.
He holds a knife to Graham's throat. In a flash, a Cheyenne collapses.
You'll have some idea of how it feels to be scalped. Mr. Graham.
In another flash, a cavalryman rides through the Cheyenne village.
How soon can you translate those books?
Graham blinks rapidly.
Right away.
He runs a hand over his ruffled hair.
I'm just delighted you're taking such an interest in samurai.
I don't give a damn about the samurai. I want to know my enemy.
I shall not sleep until it is done. Ah, sake. I bid you good night.
Algren's eyes shift pensively.
Can I get you anything, sir?
This is a punitive expedition, Captain.
Colonel Bagley, these people had nothing to do with the raids.
Good night, sir.
Quietly now, boys.
In a flashback, Bagley leads a cavalry division. Algren rides among them, his face clean-shaven apart from a mustache and a tuft of whiskers under his lip. The cavalry descends upon a modest village of teepees nestled in a valley. As children flee, Bagley shoots one in the back. As a cavalryman slashes a fleeing villager with a sword, the colonel guns down more women and children. One victim lies face down in the grass, staring off blankly. Ogryn holds out a pistol and fires. Back in the present, he relaxes in his chair. Later, at an army base. A row of Japanese recruits fires rifles at a pair of wooden targets. None hit near the bullseyes. Ogryn walks with the sergeant.
I suppose we should be grateful they're all firing in the same direction.
Couldn't have put it better myself, sir.
The captain watches one soldier reload, then positions the man's weapon.
Rifle butt against his shoulder.
Aye.
Down the sight. Now slowly.
Yukkurito.
Ute!
As Ogryn holds the rifle steady, the soldier grazes the bullseye.
Well done. Okudekita.
Nathan!
Bagley approaches with Omura and Graham.
Katsumoto has attacked the railroad at the border of his province.
We cannot govern the country in which we cannot travel freely. He must be stopped now. My railroad is a priority for this country.
They're not ready.
The rebels don't have a single rifle. They're savages with bows and arrows.
Whose sole occupation for the last 1,000 years has been war.
You have superior firepower and a larger force. I am ordering the regiment to move against the rebel Katsumoto. You will track him down and engage him.
Ogryn passes the soldier who hit the bullseye and pats him on the back.
Load.
Mr. Graham! Tell this man to fire at me!
I beg your pardon?
Tell this man...
He draws a pistol.
If he does not shoot me, I will kill him!
He stands near a target.
Captain, if I might have a word...
Ogryn shoots the ground in front of the soldier.
Tell him!
The soldier shakes his head.
Load!
Ogryn shoots off his conical helmet. The trembling soldier reaches for his ammo. As he struggles with a ramrod, Ogryn fires another warning shot. The soldier finishes loading. Ogryn fires again. Omura's associate watches coldly as the soldier aims his rifle.
Shoot me, damn it.
The captain aims back at him.
Fire!
The rifle shakes in the soldier's hands.
Fire! Ute! Ute!
Ogryn shoots his pistol and the soldier fires. Splinters fly from a barricade behind the captain. Lowering his weapon, he stares off thoughtfully. As he crosses a target range, Bagley swallows. Ogryn approaches the soldier who wears a white headband. The captain pats him on the shoulder.
They're not ready.
He storms past his superior who holds his arms folded.
The regiment leaves at 6 a.m.
Now black smoke billows into the sky. Fire consumes a wooden building as Japanese laborers work the ground with pickaxes. The skeletal roof caves in. Beyond the flames, a smokestack approaches, emitting a thick plume of steam. As the building topples sideways, a crowd of migrating peasants glances at it. Two columns of recruits march behind Hasegawa, Bagley, Graham, and Ogryn, who ride on horseback. Now, railroad tracks cut through a smoldering village.
1,000 miles of rail track laid in less than 2 years. It's astonishing.
And Omura owns all of it.
As soon as you can get rid of the samurai, well, yes.
How do you intend to find Katsumoto?
Don't worry, Mr. Graham. I assure you, he'll find us.
The regiment proceeds along the tracks, passing a still locomotive. Now, fog obscures a verdant chain of mountains. As the regiment charges through a forest, words appear. Yoshino Province, 1876.
Move into position! First company, form a battle line on me! Second company, form on first company! Third, fourth company, form up behind! Fill in on command!
Where's Hasegawa? Apparently, he refuses to fight against Katsumoto.
The general sits off to the side on his horse.
Cover down!
Captain Ogryn! We are not here as combatants.
Then who's going to lead these men?
They're on officers, for Christ's sake. Let's move to the rear.
We'll be there presently.
Fix bayonets!
Axe bayonets!
Tuck him! Mr. Graham, you will accompany me to the rear.
Yes, of course.
The recruits attach bayonets to the muzzles of their rifles, then stand at attention.
Sergeant Gant, report to the rear. Proceed to the disposition of the supply trains.
The sergeant loads a rifle.
Sergeant Gant, did you hear my order?
I did indeed, sir.
Good, then you will obey it. Now!
No disrespect intended, sir, but shove it up your ass.
Load!
Load!
Using ramrods, the recruits pack their rifles' charges. As the regiment glances around warily, Algren and Sergeant Gant trade glances. The regiment scans the misty trees. A mustached Japanese officer faces Algren.
Somebody come.
The captain nods.
You'll be fine, son.
The recruits wear frightened expressions. Craning his neck, Algren sees horned figures galloping through the fog.
Assume firing position!
Assume firing position!
The 1st Division kneels, rifles aimed, as the horned figures charge through the trees. The recruits' weapons tremble in their hands.
Fire on my order only!
The approaching figures brandish swords. One recruit's eyes widen as the samurai's glistening armor grows visible. A soldier on the front line shoots his rifle.
Hold your fire!
Hold your fire!
As other recruits randomly fire their weapons, the samurai speed their advance. Seeing the first few divisions back away, the mustache officer barks orders. The retreating soldiers push past Algren. He and Gant shoot a pair of samurai off their horses. The recruits open fire as they back away. The samurai reach the front line and swing their weapons at their countrymen. Algren glances at the mustached officer. Algren's pistol shot picks off a samurai from his mount. Gant's Winchester blows away another warrior on horseback. Discarding his gun, Algren draws his sword. Meanwhile, samurai pursue the retreating regiment. As some warriors thrust spears into recruits, archers shoot others down with bow and arrow. A charging samurai horseman slashes at a foot soldier. Blade in hand, Algren hacks at approaching warriors, cutting one down from the saddle. The mustache lieutenant stops and turns, heaving panting breaths. Algren swings at a samurai, knocking him from the saddle. The lieutenant takes off. Gant fires his Winchester. As he starts to reload, a wing-helmeted samurai spears him in the chest. Algren's horse rears up. The old sergeant lies on his back, the weapon protruding. The helmeted spearman dismounts nearby. He raises his sword and plunges it into Gant's torso. He removes it with one smooth pull. Nearby, a samurai in a horned helmet plows his mount into Algren's horse. The animal falls to its side. A helmeted warrior rushes Algren. The captain runs him through with his bayonet. As a horseman lowers his lance at a charge, Algren grabs the shaft, pulling him from his mount. He runs through an enemy with the confiscated weapon and kicks away an encroaching warrior. A thrusting samurai spears Algren's shoulder. Meanwhile, a horseman rides up, his face covered in a crested masked helmet. Algren jabs one of the encircling warriors, then swings his spear. The helmeted samurai approaches on foot and removes his mask. Algren struggles fiercely to fend off the warriors. As he spins, a spearman jabs his side. Algren throws his shoulder into the warrior, then drops to his knees. The unmasked samurai approaches. It's the dark-eyed man from the grassy plain. He gazes intently at Algren, who frantically whirls the spear. With gritted teeth, the captain swings the weapon in slow motion. Its banner unfurls, revealing a white tiger painted on a purple field. The dark-eyed samurai stops in his tracks. The warriors encircling Algren step back out of range of his spear. He drops onto his hands. The dark-eyed samurai watches gravely as a masked swordsman in red armor strides over to Algren, who waits on his knees.
Quasier.
A subtitle. He's mine. As the swordsman swings his weapon, Algren lifts the spear. It snaps in two. The swordsman delivers a kick to the captain's chest, knocking him back. Standing over Algren, the samurai raises his sword, tip downward. As he starts to plunge the weapon, Algren grabs the pointed end of the spear and jabs it into the attacker's neck. The red-armored samurai stiffens and collapses. A half-dozen others rush over, swords drawn. A subtitle, stop. The dark-eyed samurai makes his way over, followed by several others. The swordsmen sheath their weapons. Take him away. The samurai in the horned helmet waves his sword. A few warriors drag Algren off by his shoulders at spear point. The dark-eyed samurai crouches over the body of his fallen, red-armored comrade. Later, a long-haired samurai pours clear liquid over a sword's gleaming blade. His helmet removed, the dark-eyed samurai holds the blade at the ready. Nearby, Hasegawa kneels, his white shirt open. He unsheathes a long dagger. As warriors look on, the dark-eyed samurai raises his sword behind Hasegawa. Hunched on a horse's saddle, Algren watches. As Hasegawa plunges the dagger in his own torso and starts to move the blade, the dark-eyed samurai swings the sword downward. Hasegawa's headless body slumps forward. Algren sinks lower in the saddle as his horse moves on. The dark-eyed samurai bows to Hasegawa. Now, samurai on horseback moves slowly in single file along a mountain trail. The snow-capped peak of Mount Fuji rises in the distance. Later, the riders ride through a wooden torii arch composed of two vertical posts topped by two horizontal ones. The shaved-headed samurai leads the others on a white steed. As he passes under the arch, his dark eyes fix forward. The long-haired samurai follows, wearing thick, scaled armor. Behind him, a youthful archer wears a yellow breastplate. Dozens of peasants in loose-fitting robes and trousers bow reverently along the road. Toward the rear of the riding party, Algren slumps over a chestnut-brown horse with a tan mane. He lifts his head feebly. The villagers remain bowed as the samurai's mounts trot past houses flanking the road. Now, two warriors wrest Algren down from the saddle and shove him to his knees on a dirt clearing. The other samurai watch from their saddles. Algren lifts his gaze toward the dark-eyed samurai, who stares solemnly near the young archer.
What is your name?
The long-haired samurai glares. Insolent swine, answer. As Algren shuts his eyes, the warrior spits. Under the captain's gaze, he draws his sword and swings, stopping inches from Algren's neck. Unflinching, the captain meets his fierce gaze. Leave him be. The long-haired samurai withdraws, his horned helmet strapped to his back. He sheathes his sword and stalks off. The dark-eyed Katsumoto points to the young archer.
This is my son's village. We are deep in the mountains and the winter is coming. You cannot escape.
The archer eyes Algren.
Charlie, good.
As he follows his father, the captain slumps down onto the dirt. Now in a house, a door slides open, revealing a dimly lit room. A black-clad Japanese woman sews up Algren's shoulder by the light of a lantern. She looks up and sees Katsumoto watching. Blinking thoughtfully, the woman tends the shirtless Algren, who lies on his back on the floor. The woman's hands gently pull up cord around a bloody wound under his clavicle. Rolling his head along a pillow, he looks upward. The soft-featured woman meets his gaze. In the doorway, Katsumoto picks up the captain's striped pouch. Peering intently, he extracts Algren's journal. He eyes the cover, then fixes his steely gaze forward. Now, a half-dozen shaved-headed, robed men sit under a long portico. His hands at his waist, Katsumoto gazes toward a lush mountainside. Lightning flashes. Rain drenches the front of the house, where Katsumoto rests his hand on a porch column. Now, raindrops leak through the roof of the living room where Algren sleeps on his side. The captain's lips twitch. As a large droplet splashes near his face, his eyes flutter open. A young boy dressed in a gray kimono gazes down at him. The child slides the door shut. Light illuminates Algren's face from above. The captain blinks awake, his gaze drifting to a half-open door. Beyond it, the woman kneels on the floor at a low table beside the young boy. His toddler brother sits near him. As the boys eat, their mother meets Algren's gaze. She approaches, kneels in the doorway, and slides the panel shut. Daytime. Under the portico of an ornate temple, Katsumoto gazes off. His long-haired comrade approaches. Subtitles appear. My lord, why do you spare the barbarian? He is shamed in defeat. He should kill himself. That is not their custom. The dark-eyed leader bows his head under his son's watchful gaze. The long-haired bearded warrior draws his sword. Then I will kill him. Father, I don't think. The teenager averts his gaze. Katsumoto eyes the long-haired warrior. Ujo, there will be plenty of killing to come. For now, we will learn about our new enemy. The leader starts off. Keep him alive. Now, a samurai stands under the house's portico, silhouetted against the horizon. Inside, as the woman tends to Algren, Katsumoto's son watches. He's in bad shape.
Sake?
Algren's chest heaves. The youth eyes the woman soberly. She straightens, lifting the hem of her kimono, and steps away. Taka will take care of you. Taka returns with a dark bottle on a tray. Cradling Algren's head in her hand, she lifts his mouth toward a small cup. He slurps the wine. His head falls back against the pillow, and he drops the cup. Algren spreads his arms, knocking over the bottle. He sets it upright. Lifting his head from the pillow, he raises the bottle to his lips. Algren chugs the sake, spitting some up. Taka and the young archer swap a concerned look. Nearby, his father sits on a red cushion. Katsumoto removes Algren's journal from the pouch. He eyes a page with a sketch of a Cheyenne chief in a feathered headdress. Outside, a swordsman patrols the house's portico. Now on his side, Algren convulses, staring absently. He shuts his eyes as his body heaves. A flash to the Cheyenne village shows a squaw collapsing.
Sake?
Algren trembles, wild-eyed.
Sake?
Subtitles appear. Let him drink, aunt. No, that will not do. This is my village. This is my house. Crossing past her nephew, Taka kneels by the doorway with a tray.
Please, Sake.
She slides the panel shut. Later, with clenched teeth, Algren flashes to the Cheyenne village's fiery field strewn with bodies.
Sake!
In a nearby room, Taka lies awake on her side on a floor mat, her head propped up. Algren sinks onto his back.
No!
Taka sits up.
No!
Wearing an anguished grimace, the captain lifts a hand over one eye.
I told you!
Listening, Taka bows her head. A bird's eye view shows Algren's body convulsing on his bedding.
No!
In the temple, a golden statue of Buddha sits against one wall. His head bowed and eyes closed, Katsumoto meditates. Daytime. Taka's thatched roof house stands on the grassy plain, encircled by lush mountains. Outside, young children scamper about. Inside, the sleeping Algren stirs gently. He struggles to lift his head, then props himself on one elbow. The captain peers thoughtfully. Algren's clear-eyed gaze scans the room as he heaves calm, steady breaths. Algren exits onto a small porch. An elderly robed man faces him.
Morning.
The man stares ahead, ignoring the foreigner's greeting. He wears a sheathed sword girded over his robe. As Algren steps off the porch, the silent man follows him. Walking a road beside a lake, peasants toting baskets glance at the prisoner and his samurai guard. One ports a basket strapped to his back. A gaggle of geese waddle by, and a man tends to an ox hitched to a two-wheeled cart. Algren walks with measured steps, then stops and glances behind him at the silent samurai. Nearby, children and old women weaving baskets stare at the passing stranger. At a fire, a blacksmith hammers a red-hot blade. On a training field, rogue samurai practice swordsmanship. They slash with powerful strokes in unison. Algren watches as the men sheath their swords, all with the same fluid movement. Two archers on horseback gallop by and aim arrows at a target. The arrows protrude from the target's center drum. Nearby, other samurai practice martial arts. An older man teaches three youngsters, flipping them to the ground. Algren eyes the maneuvers carefully. He enters his lodging and crosses a gleaming hardwood floor. In a room off the main entrance, the house's young boy kneels reverently facing a suit of red armor with a horned helmet. Behind him, Taka scrubs his muddy tracks. As Algren glances at his boots on the tatami floor, one archer runs in and roughly ushers him out. Subtitles, over there.
Go! You! Go!
Outside, Algren walks with a silent man.
What's your name? You got a name, don't you? Namai.
You don't know what I'm saying, do you?
They head toward the edge of the village.
Yeah, but I know why you don't talk. You're angry. You're angry because they make you wear a dress.
Crossing a river, Algren walks ahead of his protector. The silent samurai quickens his pace, slaps his long baton on Algren's arm, motions, then heads to an ornate compound of buildings. Guards flank its entrance. The samurai strides to a portico of the most spacious building. The American follows. The silent man nods toward a doorway, and Algren slowly approaches it. Thick wooden pillars support the structure's massive beams. In a sparsely furnished room, a golden Buddha sits on a pedestal. On the floor, the dark-eyed samurai sits at a small shrine.
This temple was built by my family 1,000 years ago.
Outside, Algren stands motionless.
My name is Katsumoto. What is your name?
Algren stands motionless, gazing at the samurai. Katsumoto stands and approaches.
Are my words not correct?
He walks to the doorway and peers curiously at the American.
I will practice my English with you. If you would honor me.
He steps out on the portico.
You kept me alive just to speak English?
Katsumoto eyes him tersely.
And what do you want?
To know my enemy.
I've seen what you do to your enemies.
The warriors in your country do not kill?
They don't cut the heads off defeated kneeling men.
General Hasegawa asked me to help him end his life. A samurai cannot stand the shame of defeat. I was honored to cut off his head.
Katsumoto drops his gaze and paces.
Many of our customs seem strange to you, and the same is true of yours. For example, not to introduce yourself is considered extremely rude, even among enemies.
Katsumoto takes a few steps and stands with his back to Algren. Algren turns to face him.
Nathan Algren.
Katsumoto turns and meets the American's gaze.
I'm honored to meet.
He bows.
I have enjoyed this conversation in English.
I have questions.
I have introduced myself. You have introduced yourself. This is a very good conversation.
I have questions.
Questions come later.
Who's the warrior in the red armor?
Katsumoto stops in his tracks.
My brother-in-law, Hirotaro.
And the woman who cares for me?
My sister, Hirotaro's wife. Her name is Taka.
I killed her husband?
It was a good death.
Now at Taka's doorstep, Algren takes off his boots and sets them beside the door. He enters in stocking feet and walks past the many rooms. In one, Nobutada, the young archer, eats with Taka and the boys.
You!
Subtitles, you, come, please.
こちらへ. どうぞ. こちらへ。こちらへ。どうぞ。どうぞ.
Grinning, Nobutada ushers Algren to the table and gently pushes down on his shoulders. As Algren sits on the floor, Taka enters with a tray. She kneels and places a bowl of rice before her guest. The eldest boy glances uncomfortably at Algren. The younger one scoops more rice up with his chopsticks. Algren watches Taka's calm expression as she carefully places each dish of the meal in front of Algren, then starts to rise.
Thank you.
Taka sits beside the archer.
Toza.
Taka glances at her boys, then to Nobutada. Subtitles. He smells like the pigs. Tell my brother I cannot stand this. Why don't you tell him? At least make him take a bath. Taka smiles pleasantly at Algren, who glances sheepishly around the table. Nobutada eats hungrily. The youngest one stares at him, then opens his mouth wide at the American. Algren furrows his brow, and the boy stretches his mouth wider. Taka spots her son making faces and covers the child's mouth with her hand. As Algren gazes at her, she demurely lowers her eyes to her rice bowl and lifts a tiny portion to her lips. Algren sips his soup. Now, in a drizzling rain, Taka's eldest boy and another his age run outside with a boken, a wooden practice sword, and spar with them. Taka's boy chases his friend down the road. Grinning, the boys slash and block. As Nobutada and Algren stroll toward them, followed by the silent samurai, Taka steps outside and watches their joyful battle. The game ends as Taka's boy aborts a blow to the other kid's neck. They engage again, and Taka's son swats his opponent's boken to the ground. Algren picks it up and hands it back.
Nicely done.
The boy bows and steps away from the weapon. They may be children, but they are strong.
You tried. Fly.
Taka's son swings his weapon and Algren blocks it. They circle each other and the boy lunges again. Algren dodges the blows, then catches the boy's weapon. The boy freezes. Ujio and two other samurai approach. The boy quickly backs away from Algren as Ujio approaches, carrying his practice sword. The two men eye each other warily. Ujio steps closer and lifts his weapon. Put down the sword. Algren stands motionless, then meets his gaze. Algren positions himself in front of Ujio, facing him head-on. Ujio rests his boken on his shoulder and steps up to the American. Algren holds his weapon at his side. From a porch, Taka watches. Algren springs into action, swinging his sword toward Ujio's head. Ujio ducks and jabs the hilt of his boken into Algren's stomach. Algren falls to one knee and swings again. Ujio slams his sword down on Algren's arm. As the samurai turns and walks away, Algren staggers to his feet and lifts his boken. Ujio turns and faces him. Algren blocks the first blow. Ujio's second blow hits Algren's face, stunning him. Ujio delivers another to the man's neck, knocking him flat on his back. The samurai swats Algren's weapon aside and walks off. Taka watches with a sad gaze. Algren lifts his battered, bloody head. Slowly, he sits up. Ujio stops, turns, and eyes the Westerner. Algren staggers dizzily to his feet, picks up the boken, and faces Ujio. The samurai runs at him. Algren parries two rapid slashes, then Ujio kicks him in the stomach. Algren lies face down in the mud. Taka watches with a furrowed brow. As he tries to stand, Ujio's boken chops him down. The other samurai stare blankly at the beaten man. As Ujio starts to leave, Algren slides his weapon along the ground. Ujio peers down at his dazed opponent as he struggles to his knees. As Algren swings the boken, Ujio catches it and grasps it firmly. Ujio swats Algren on the side of the head with his weapon, and the man goes down again, his weapon yanked away from him. Taka watches sadly, and Ujio tosses the practice sword back to her son. Under the pouring rain, Taka's son gapes at the American on the ground. Nobutada eyes him soberly, and Taka slowly bows her head. Daytime. Algren's escort follows him down a path.
I just realized
I've been remiss. Forgive me. I have yet to thank you for looking out for me yesterday. That is your job, correct? Protecting me. Well done, Bob. You don't mind if I call you Bob, do you? I knew Bob once. God, he was ugly as a mule. You ladies' man, Bob?
Later, in his uniform and socks, he joins Katsumoto in the temple.
Ujo is teaching you the way of the Japanese sword.
Yes, indeed.
You fought against your Red Indians?
Katsumoto kneels at a writing table. He looks over as Algren lies on the floor.
Yes?
Tell me of your part in this war.
Why?
I wish to learn.
Read a book.
I would rather have a good conversation.
Why?
Because we are both students of war. Huh?
As Algren sits up, Katsumoto crouches to face him.
So, you are the general of your army?
No. I was a captain.
This is a low rank?
A middle rank.
And who is your general?
Under Katsumoto's studious gaze, Algren warily gets to his feet.
Don't you have a rebellion to lead?
People in your country do not like conversation.
He was a lieutenant colonel. His name was Custer.
I know this name. He killed many warriors.
Oh, yes. Many warriors.
So he was a good general?
No. No, he wasn't a good general. He was arrogant and foolhardy. And he got massacred because he took a single battalion against 2,000 angry Indians.
2,000 Indians? How many men for Custer?
211.
I like this General Custer.
He was a murderer who fell in love with his own legend. And his troopers died for it.
I think this is a very good death.
Well, maybe you can have one just like it someday.
If it is my destiny.
What do you want from me?
What do you want for yourself?
What are you doing? Why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
The silent samurai hastens in, ready to draw his sword. Katsumoto holds up a palm.
In spring, the snows will melt and the pastures will open. Until that time, you are here. Good day. Captain?
Algren glances toward the silent samurai. Later, rainfall drips from a house's eaves and drenches tools left in the yard. Several samurai gather under a porch roof. Katsumoto studies Algren's journal, which shows a sketch of a Cheyenne woman bundling twigs. Under the silent samurai's watch, Algren paces a porch walkway.
1876. Day unknown. Month unknown.
Men forge medals.
I continue to live among these unusual people. I am their captive, and then I cannot escape.
He watches Taka's eldest son study.
Mostly I'm treated with a kind of a mild neglect, as if I were a stray dog or an unwelcome guest.
Later, in a fern-covered grotto, Algren sits in a hot pool. He flexes his bare shoulders and breathes into his scarred chest. Now on the training field, he watches two samurai sparring.
Everyone is polite. Everyone smiles and bows. But beneath their courtesy, I detect a deep reservoir of feeling.
Taka's eldest son looks on. Later, the boy brushes a character on a scroll. He glances at Algren. As the captain rests from his own writing, the boy watches. Algren hides his left-hand thumb behind his other four fingers. On his right hand, a finger masks only the bottom of the other thumb. He lines up the exposed tip with the base of his left-hand thumb and moves the tip to and fro. It looks like his thumb comes apart and reassembles. He and the boy swap smiles.
Hige.
The boy looks alertly to his mother, who emerges with her younger son. Standing, the elder boy dutifully crosses the clean floor toward his family.
They are an intriguing people. From the moment they wake, they devote themselves to the perfection of whatever they pursue.
Thatchers work with bamboo. A woman weaves at a loom. A man ladles tea before a boy. Nobutada shoots an arrow.
I have never seen such discipline. I am surprised to learn that the word samurai means to serve, and that Katsumoto believes his rebellion to be in the service of the Emperor.
Now Ujio oversees combat exercises. As Algren hefts a wooden boken in his grip, Ujio hastens toward him. The silent samurai and several others watch. Ujio halts as Katsumoto arrives on horseback. Katsumoto nods. Ujio bats Algren's practice sword down with his own, then takes up a spot facing the foreigner. The men prepare to spar. As Ujio swings, slowly, Algren sloppily blocks. Ujio tags his shoulder hard. Katsumoto frowns and leaves. Later, in Taka's house, Algren slides open a shoji screen and enters the adjacent room. He approaches the suit of red armor on display. The conical helmet perches on an expressionless mask. In his stocking feet, he crouches at a shallow basket containing neatly folded garments. He lifts out a white and blue banded sash, then a handsome slate-gray robe. Later, wearing the clothes, he peeks around a column and sees no one. Algren swaggers into the main room, adjusting the full, split skirt-like garment that reaches to his ankles. The captain springs into a wide-legged stance with his knees bent and butt out. He imperiously weaves an arm, then thrusts it. Algren checks over his shoulder toward a doorway. Finding no one, he launches into a display of exaggerated martial arts poses. Taka's eldest son arrives, unseen by Algren. In mid-kick, Algren notices the boy and clumsily collects himself. A hint of a smile crosses the boy's lips. As Algren sheepishly adjusts the ties at his waist, the boy bows to him. Algren bows in return. Daytime on the training field. Algren spars with a man who flips him onto his back. Nobutada approaches.
Please forgive. Too many mind.
Too many mind?
Hi. Mind the sword. Mind the people watch. Mind the enemy. Too many mind. No mind.
No mind.
Nobutada rejoins Taka's older son at the field's edge. As the silent samurai watches with them, Algren's opponent begins. His foe blocks Algren's swings in one kick. Algren climbs onto his back. His opponent yanks Algren's leg between his own and pins the novice to the ground. Later, Algren kneels at dinner with Nobutada, Taka, and both little boys. Algren's gaze fixes on Taka. He lifts his empty bowl.
Arigato.
Thank you. More rice?
Okawari?
Taka!
Taka, he spoke Japanese. Nobutada beams at Algren. Eat a lot. Don't be polite.
Not so fast. What are these?
Chopsticks.
Hashi.
Hashi.
Taka's older son speaks. How can he understand? The littlest boy points at his own nose.
Mage.
Nobutada points to his bundled hair. Top knot. As the littlest boy tugs on his ears, his cousin teaches the word for bowl. Taka glances uneasily at them.
I'm Algren. Algren.
Algren.
Algren.
Algren.
Algren.
All three boys try. Nobutada points to himself.
Nobutada.
He points to the littlest boy.
Magojiro.
Higen.
Higen.
The older son smiles. Algren looks to their mother, whose head stays bowed.
Taka.
She looks up painfully, later with Katsumoto.
Haniwe.
Brother, please make him leave. I cannot stand it. Is he so repulsive? The shame is unbearable. I ask permission to end my life. You will do as you are told. Taka turns her anguished gaze away from her brother's grim stare. You'd rather I kill him to avenge your husband? Yes. Hirotaro tried to kill the American. It was karma. I know. Forgive my weakness. There must be some reason why he is here. It is beyond my understanding. Katsumoto's gaze shifts abruptly to Algren as he rounds a corner. Taka glances at him, then faces her brother. With a troubled brow, she bows demurely. Her footsteps carry her past the American, who acknowledges her with a tilt of his head. Ogryn faces Katsumoto.
She's been very kind to me.
She's honored to have my guest in her house.
They bow. Now on a hilltop, Ogryn stands in silhouette against a sun-washed sky. He draws his sword and practices broad swings. Now Ogryn walks with Katsumoto across a courtyard bathed in white snow. Snowflakes drift gently around them like bits of downy feathers. Later, Ogryn writes in his journal.
Winter, 1877. What does it mean to be samurai? To devote yourself utterly to a set of moral principles? Seek a stillness of your mind and to master the way of the sword.
A gruff samurai Nakao watches Ogryn spar. Nobutada nods. He's getting better, no?
Beauty.
But still so ugly. Now Ogryn and Hegan carry firewood through the snow. The captain adds one of his logs to the boys' pile, and they laugh as Hegan staggers. Later inside, Taka finds him sitting with the boys around the fire.
Samui? Samui? Watashi Samui. Watashi samui.
Watashi mo samui.
Watashi mo samui.
Also watashi fire.
As Taka secretly watches them, a faint smile graces her lips.
Edaga.
Mueru.
Mueru. Mueru. To burn. Mueru.
Mueru.
Mueru. Edaga mueru.
Edaga mueru.
Edaga mueru.
She leaves them be. Now, snow falls briskly outside the house. As Taka enters carrying a basket, Ogryn gently takes it from her. No, please. Japanese men do not help with this. I am not Japanese. He carries the tall basket away. Taka moves to the square fire pit in the center of the room and kneels beside it. Ogryn sets down the basket and watches Taka brush some loose strands of hair from her face. She attends the flames. Ogryn crouches at the fire facing her. As she stirs a pot hanging on a thin rod from the ceiling, his gaze lowers.
Sorry.
She looks to his troubled face.
Gomen nasai. Gomen nasai for your husband, Hirotaro.
His deep blue eyes fall upon Taka as her eyes well with tears and shift slightly downward. She swallows hard. He did his duty. You did your duty. Smoke wafts from the fire between them as Taka smiles at Ogryn. I accept your apology. Little Magojiro walks to his mother. Taka glances to the captain with a polite smile, and the boy leads her away. Now, water drips from tree branch icicles. Ogryn sits in a sunny field writing in his journal. The silent samurai stands vigilantly nearby.
Spring, 1877. This marks the longest I have stayed in one place since I left the farm at 17.
Later, he walks beneath trees as a samurai trails behind him.
There's so much here that I will never understand.
He passes a stone statue of Buddha. Later, Hegan strides alongside him as he walks.
I've never been a church-going man, and what I have seen on the field of battle has led me to question God's purpose. But there is indeed something spiritual in this place.
Farmers in the mountain village plant seedlings in a rice paddy.
And though it may forever be obscure to me, I cannot but be aware of its power.
Now he walks a path with Katsumoto, then watches Taka and Magojiro in a garden. Later, he meditates on a hillside under the samurai's watch.
I do know it is here that I have known my first untroubled sleep in many years.
Now he teaches children baseball. As he gets a hit, they chase him.
Bro, you gotta get the ball! No, not me. You gotta get the ball.
Watching nearby, Taka smiles to herself. Now the samurai watches Ujio spars again with Algren. The captain twirls his boken. Ujio will win in 3 moves. Nakao scratches his beard. In 5. Ujio blocks Algren's flurry of swipes and hits him in the stomach and the back. Nakao passes coins from his sleeve to his friend. Higen watches with the silent samurai as the two men face off again. Next in 5 moves, Nakao frowns. In 6. Their wooden swords clash fiercely. Ujio's comes to rest against Algren's throat. Glaring, Algren backs away and takes his starting place again. Nakao hands more coins to his betting partner. Higen watches the captain take deep, steady breaths. He lowers the tip of his weapon and closes his eyes. An image of Ujio swiping at him flashes. Algren opens his eyes to see Ujio waiting with his fingers slowly tightening on his boken. As the captain stares ahead, another image appears of him blocking Ujio's blow. Now, in slow motion, a gentle breeze rustles the captain's long bangs as Ujio draws his weapon back. The two men raise their bokens, and Ujio lowers the tip of his toward Algren. The captain attacks. Gritting his teeth, Algren brings down 2 forceful strikes, only to be blocked by the veteran swordsman. As they trade blows, Algren spins around, swinging low. Ujio blocks, swings back, then ducks Algren's overextended swipe. As they recover, they each halt, their bokens an inch from the other's throat. The spectators rise to their feet. A draw. Higen smiles as Algren and Ujio slowly back away from each other. Ujio lowers his boken and nods to Algren. Breathing heavily, the captain bows. Nighttime. On a platform, a figure in a wooden mask with a bright red beard tugs on the sleeve of an actor in a woman's mask and kimono. The actor bats the other performer away. He falls and the gathered villagers smile. Algren grins brightly as the masked actor approaches again and the woman bumps him away with her hip. Katsumoto steps on stage and mugs to the audience. Nakao cups his mouth. Who is this amateur? Katsumoto taps the woman's shoulder. As she swats at him, he comically stumbles away. Away from the courtyard, a samurai stands guard. As Katsumoto pulls the masked figure away from the woman, a ninja sneaks up behind the guard and snaps his neck. Several more ninjas, wearing swords on their backs and dressed all in black, rush past to a house. They vault others onto the straw roof. Back on stage, Katsumoto kicks the mask-wearing Kyogen player away. As the intruders crawl stealthily up the roof, Algren shares a smile with Taka. Now Katsumoto bows. The assassins reach the roof's peak and look down on the firelit courtyard. Algren glimpses movement on the roof, and he stands slowly. As the masked actor sneaks up to scare Katsumoto, Algren sees the ninjas rise up with crossbows.
Katsumoto!
The leader turns. A quarrel shot from one crossbow pierces the actor's mask. As blood pours out, Katsumoto rolls nimbly off stage. Subtitles read, "Protect Katsumoto! Protect our lord!" Dart-nosed quarrels rain down on the guards, and several ninja emerge, drawing their straight swords. As Algren and Taka gather the children, an archer shoots a ninja off the roof. Another guard falls from the cluster of men ushering Katsumoto from the courtyard. Meanwhile inside, Algren huddles Taka's family in a corner, and a guard reaches to close the door. A ninja's throwing star lodges in his neck. As the samurai fight the ninjas, Katsumoto's group approaches the house. A ninja throws a hooked chain around a samurai's neck, and another claws a sword to his face. Ujio faces his leader. "Lord, please go inside." A ninja drops under the porch, and Ujio slices his gut. Nakao joins him. Inside Taka's house, Katsumoto raises his sword as he and Algren nearly collide. Outside, Ujio pulls his sword from the ninja's belly and dodges an attack. The silent samurai fights off 2, and Nakao slashes furiously. Inside, Katsumoto watches the ceiling as he stalks to another room with his remaining two guards. Ninjas hack in through screen panels. As Katsumoto dodges backwards, another ninja breaks into the next room and kicks at Algren. The captain falls back over a small table, but alertly kicks it into the ninja's knees, then throws him through another wall. As he turns, Taka drives a knife into a second intruder's belly. Algren kicks him back against more ninjas. In the next room, Katsumoto fights off several assassins as one of his guards falls under the ninja's blades. Meanwhile, Algren lifts the small table and a ninja's sword lodges in the wood. As the assassin kicks the captain's sword away, Algren flips him over his shoulder. The ninja reverses the hold and presses Algren's face toward the lodged blade. Hegan gets his father's sword. As Algren reaches for a fallen chopstick, Hegan charges a ninja. Still pinned to the floor, Algren sees the assassin face the boy. As Hegan backs away, blocking violent blows, Algren jams the chopstick in his own attacker's eye. Now Hegan's attacker knocks away the boy's sword and moves in to kill. Algren kills him. In the next room, a ninja impales the last guard. Wielding two swords, Katsumoto faces the remaining pair of ninja. Algren charges one from behind, but the ninja trips him. Algren barely stops a knife thrust to his throat. Fending off his own attacker, Katsumoto whips a sword at Algren's foe. The man drops. Algren draws the sword from his back and lances Katsumoto's attacker. As the ninja falls, Katsumoto finishes him with a thrust in the back. Now, three more ninja race in. The two samurai whirl in tandem, parrying the attacks and defeat the threesome. Algren drives his sword through a ninja's chest. Outside, Ujio and the others cut down the last intruders. Back inside, Algren and Katsumoto stand over the pile of corpses. Breathing heavily, they stare at each other. Daytime. Outside his temple, Katsumoto stands beneath a sprawling branch of cherry blossoms. Algren crosses the courtyard, exchanging bows with samurai posted at passageways.
A perfect blossom is a rare thing. You could spend your life looking for one, and it would not be a wasted life.
Who sent those men to kill you?
I'm writing a poem about a dream I had. The tiger's eyes are like my own, but he comes from across a deep and troubled sea.
Was it the Emperor?
Katsumoto averts his gaze.
Omura?
If the Emperor wishes my death, he has but to ask.
So it was Omura.
I'm having trouble finishing the poem. Can you suggest a last line?
I'm not a writer.
Yet. You have written many pages since you came here.
Algren meets the samurai's steady gaze.
What else has she told you?
He smiles wryly. Katsumoto steps closer.
You have nightmares?
Algren nods and regards Katsumoto's gaze.
Every soldier has nightmares.
Only one who is ashamed of what he has done.
You have no idea what I have done.
Katsumoto peers over his shoulder.
I don't want that.
A guard bows to Katsumoto and hurries off.
You have seen many things.
Algren nods.
I have.
You do not fear death, but sometimes you wish for it. Is this not so?
Algren gazes at the samurai, then nods slightly.
Yes.
I hope so. It happens to men who have seen what we have seen. And then I come to this place of my ancestors. And I remember, like these blossoms, we are all dying. To know life in every breath, every cup of tea, every life we take, the way of the warrior.
Life in every breath.
That is Bushido.
Hi.
The Emperor has granted a safe passage to Tokyo. We leave tomorrow.
Algren meets Katsumoto's gaze.
Good.
Good.
The guard returns with Algren's fringed pouch. He gives it to Katsumoto, bows, and leaves. Katsumoto hands it to Algren.
When I took these, you were my enemy.
They exchange a somber look, and Katsumoto walks away. Now at a stream shaded by lush trees and ferns, Taka bathes with a robe off one shoulder as she kneels under a trickling waterfall. Algren approaches and stops a few yards away. The silent samurai stands a distance behind him.
Shitsure.
Excuse me. Taka drops her gaze.
Yeah.
No, so sorry. I'm finishing. She pulls her robe over her shoulder, stands, and faces the American. Algren nods slightly and lowers his gaze. Taka eyes him closely. He looks up at her.
Ikimasu.
I must go away. Clutching the lapels of her robe against her, Taka peers at him. As they gaze at each other, Algren slowly nods. Taka sadly turns away, demurely stoops, and picks up her bathing basket. She walks with her head lowered and pushes back her long dark hair. She stops as she passes Algren. You have been kind to me. She gazes softly at him. I won't forget. Taka eyes him sadly, bows from the waist, then lifts her gaze to linger on his. She opens her lips slightly, then presses them shut, turns, and walks away. Now in front of Taka's house, Algren wears his uniform. He mounts, joining the army of samurai already on horseback. Higen runs toward them. He faces Algren and slowly lifts a bound scroll up to him, offering it ceremoniously in both hands. Algren takes it and eyes it curiously. As he faces Higen, the boy bows and steps back. Katsumoto rides to the front of the line. Higen runs off, and Katsumoto, followed by Ujio, rein in beside Algren. Ujio lifts his hands to the others.
Aizo!
Katsumoto leads the horsemen at a full gallop. As hundreds of samurai ride past him, Algren holds back his steed, peering across the road at Taka's porch. Higen and Magojiro gaze back. As hooves pound up dust, Algren's horse frets and turns in a circle. Algren waits, then rides out of the village with the others. In her house, Taka sits on her tatami floor with her eyes averted from the departing warriors. Now on a street in Tokyo, Graham peers over his camera. He ducks under the camera's black tarp and focuses it on two women in pristine kimonos. The upside-down image of their faces suddenly turns fearful. Graham looks up as people scurry past him, hurrying to get off the street. He peers over their heads. Katsumoto's legion rides through the parting throngs of pedestrians. Graham spots Algren riding with them and smiles. The samurai ride down the street at a slow and steady gait. Above the flurry of people hurrying out of their path, Omura and his bodyguard watch from a balcony. Omura gazes disdainfully at Katsumoto, Ujio, and Algren. Along the sides of the street, the people kneel and huddle close together. They bow as the warriors approach, keeping their eyes downcast as Katsumoto rides past and lift their gaze to glimpse the samurai leader from behind. The party comes to a stop. Algren trades a glance with Katsumoto and dismounts. Algren and Katsumoto trade a look. Katsumoto gives a curt bow. Algren nods, and the samurai move on. Now on the military base, soldiers light fuses, setting off a row of cannons. Algren approaches, passing a regiment of soldiers marching by. He walks toward the cannons and peers down over a cliff at a drill field. Hundreds of soldiers stand at attention or march in formation between clusters of white tents. Algren's brow furrows.
Algren?
Bagley approaches.
Algren, my God, you are alive.
The mustached Japanese lieutenant follows. Algren nods to him and the lieutenant bows.
Will you never cease to astonish?
Howitzers.
Yes, indeed. As soon as the Emperor signs the damn trade agreement, he gets the whole package.
He faces a Gatling gun.
Including this particular item, 200 rounds a minute, And the new cartridges cut down on jamming.
I need a bath.
After living with those savages, I can only imagine.
Algren eyes him wryly.
Welcome back, Captain.
Now a river flows beneath ornate bridges and a stately palace. Inside, women in elegant dress gaze toward a portico where Emperor Meiji walks with Katsumoto.
Katsumoto wa?
Subtitles. You rise against me, my teacher? No, Highness. I rise against your enemies. They are my advisors, like you. They advise in their own interest. I need advisors who know the modern world. If I am no use, I will happily end my life. The Emperor faces Katsumoto. I need your voice in the council. It is your voice we need, Highness. You are a living god. Do what you think is right. I am a living god as long as I do what they think is right. Katsumoto bows. What sad words you speak. Forgive me for saying what a teacher must. Meiji eyes him soberly. Have you forgotten your people? Tell me what to do, my teacher. Katsumoto kneels. You are emperor, my lord, not me. You must find the wisdom for all of us. He bows low. In Omura's office.
Ah, gentlemen, come in. Captain Algren, it seems you have endured your captivity with little ill effect.
I was not ill-treated, sir.
Mr. Omura, I have here a draft of the arms agreement. Captain Algren, I'm eager to know how many samurai have joined Katsumoto.
I'm afraid I don't know.
You spent the entire winter at his encampment.
As his prisoner.
Well, has he fortified his position? Has he acquired firearms? Come, man, tell us what you saw.
As you said, Colonel. They're savages with bows and arrows.
Sir, about the... I'm sure your documents are in order, Ambassador. Thank you. If you leave them on my desk, I will address them at the appropriate time.
With all due respect, sir, our president's patience is wearing thin. Perhaps there's someone else we should be speaking to.
With all due respect, Ambassador, perhaps there is someone else we should be speaking to. For instance, the French. Or the English. Why any of the delegations waiting in the next room?
Yes. Well, we shall be looking forward to hearing from you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Captain Algren, perhaps you and I might have a word in private. Please sit down.
Algren takes a seat as Bagley and the American ambassador leave.
May I offer you whiskey?
No, thank you.
Omura sets down two drinks on a table. He gives Algren a curious stare as he takes a seat beside him.
Katsumoto is an extraordinary man, is he not?
He's a tribal leader. I've known many of them.
But none who are samurai. Their ways have great appeal.
I don't see how this concerns me.
Ah, but it does. You see, you are right, Captain Algren. Last year, we are not prepared to go to battle. You are right, and Colonel Bagri was wrong. But now we are ready. If Katsumoto is allowed to attract other samurai to his cause, we will have 10 years of rebellion. This is something I will not allow. Either I will stop him at the council today, or you will lead my army against him. And with these new weapons, you will crush him.
He taps his finger on the arms agreement.
I appreciate the offer.
It is not an offer.
Algren stands.
Mr. Mora, my contract with you was to train your army.
Then we will make a new contract. One that will recognize the extraordinary contribution you have made to the Emperor. Do we understand each other?
Yes, we understand each other perfectly.
Then I'm pleased.
The captain bows, then heads for the door. Omura's henchman steps up behind his boss.
Atotsukero.
Subtitles appear. Follow him. If he goes anywhere near Katsumoto, kill him. Outside, Graham approaches Algren.
Captain Algren, what in heaven's name is going on? The diplomatic community is abuzz. Omura has passed laws against the samurai.
Mr. Graham, I need a drink.
Is your friend Katsumoto really planning to go up against the council this afternoon?
Algren sees army soldiers circling Nobutada. Subtitles. You, samurai, don't you know about the order?
Oh my god, it started.
Hey boy, are you listening? No wonder the foreigners mock you. Let's give the samurai a haircut. Cut off his top knot. Get down, kneel.
Captain Ogren.
Lower your weapons. Lower your weapons. Who are you? I am Captain Ogren.
Ogren, Kaida.
As the soldier clubs Ogren, Nobutada starts to draw his sword. Ogren holds up his hand. Stop. Nobutada freezes as the soldiers aim their rifles. The samurai faces Ogren, who whispers. As Nobutada slides his sword back into his sheath and straightens, Ogren staggers back, doubled over. A mustached soldier hands his rifle to a comrade, then draws a bayonet. Another soldier seizes Nobutada's sword. The mustache man grabs the samurai by the hair. Get down. He yanks back Nobutada's head and saws through his top knot. The mustached soldier drops the clump of hair at the samurai's knees. Let's go. The mustached soldier kicks Nobutada to the ground.
What?
His comrade hands him his rifle as they leave. Ogren kneels by Nobutada's side. The samurai's loose hair hangs down to his shoulders. I'll take you home. As Ogren helps him to his feet, locals gawk at them. Graham turns away and heads off in the opposite direction. He sees Omura's henchman, who motions to two surly-looking men. One wears a western suit, and the other a Japanese haori coat and split skirt. Graham averts his gaze as the two men follow Nobutada and the captain. Now in a chamber, Omura addresses men at a conference table. We must resist the Western powers by becoming powerful ourselves. Our army, our economy must be strong. In the doorway, Katsumoto bows. Minister, you honor us. Katsumoto enters. It is my honor to rejoin this council. Perhaps you are unaware of the law against wearing swords. I read every law carefully. Yet you bring weapons into this chamber? This chamber was protected by my sword when... We need no protection. We are a nation of laws. We are a nation of whores selling ourselves. If we are whores, the samurai made us this way. I have not seen the Omura family giving gold to the masses. The two councilmen glare at each other. Minister Katsumoto, it is with great regret, but I must ask you to remove your sword. Katsumoto holds out a long bundle wrapped in silk. This sword serves the Emperor. Only he can command me to remove it. Katsumoto bows to the Emperor, who sits at his own table in the back of the room. The samurai slowly lifts his gaze to meet his leader's. As the Emperor looks away timidly, Omura smirks. Katsumoto blinks as his stern expression falters. The Emperor's voice is too pure to be heard in this council. Then I must refuse to give up my sword. Omura nods to his henchmen in the hallway, who motions to several army soldiers. Then regretfully, my guards will accompany you to your home in Tokyo. There, you will await our summons. Katsumoto starts for the hallway, then stops. He faces the Emperor, who avoids his gaze. Katsumoto bows, then exits with the guards. Now in his quarters, Ogren unloads a revolver.
Heard you were leaving.
Bagley watches the captain pack a suitcase.
Omura offers you my job and you run away.
Ogren stands with his back to him.
Suppose I should thank you.
Bagley holds up an envelope.
$500 a month, including back pay for time spent in captivity.
Ogren picks up a shot glass of liquor.
There's enough there to climb back inside a bottle for the rest of your life.
The captain downs his drink.
You're welcome.
As Ogren pours himself another, Bagley looks out a window.
Well, it is pretty much over. Katsumoto's under arrest. Amuro won't let him last the night. And with Katsumoto dead, we should have little trouble handling what's left of the rebellion, even without you. Especially without you.
As Algren presses down the items in his suitcase, Bagley picks up the open scroll.
Just tell me one thing. What is it about your own people that you hate so much?
The captain faces him, then takes the scroll from his hand. Bagley leaves. Algren smooths out the scroll on top of the belongings in his suitcase. A pensive expression overtakes his face. Now at his house in Tokyo, Katsumoto kneels, his eyes closed. Behind him, a door slides open. Omura's henchman stands in the next room with a guard. Back in his quarters, Algren lifts his shot glass to his mouth, then hesitates. Now, Omura's henchman enters Katsumoto's room and draws a dagger. The samurai's eyes remain closed as the birthmarked man inches toward him. The henchman sets the dagger down in front of Katsumoto. Save us the trouble. He exits. Back in his quarters, Algren lowers the glass from his mouth. Now, Katsumoto opens his eyes and sees the dagger on the thatched rug in front of him. His brow furrows. Meanwhile, Algren turns for the door in his quarters. Later, he exits the brick building and passes a group of peasants gathered around fires. The two surly-looking men eye him from over their shoulders. As he heads down the cobblestone street, they follow. Algren descends a crooked set of stairs, then slows. As a shadowy figure follows him, he glances discreetly to the side. A robed man steps in front of him. As Algren turns, the man unsheathes a sword. Two other foes approach from different directions. Algren sidles across the dirt road, eyeing his assailants. As a fourth man arrives and draws his sword, the captain reaches inside his coat. His gaze drifts pensively, and he withdraws his hand. He shoots a sidelong glance toward one of his assailants. All four opponents lurk closer. Algren calmly lowers his hands to his sides as the enemies encircle him. He drags one foot back across the dirt. Scanning his assailants' positions, he plants his heels firmly. He whirls to one side and grabs an opponent's hands. As the others attack, he uses his enemy's sword to deflect their blows. He kicks one of his assailants in the face, then flips another one onto the ground, freeing the sword from his grip. He slices through two of his assailants' bodies. He fells another attacker, snatches his sword, and vanquishes the remaining opponent with two blades. Kneeling, Algren grits his teeth and stares ahead. Now the uninjured assailants close in on him as he waits. In slow motion, the captain whirls to one side and grabs his opponent's hands. He kicks one of his assailants in the face, then flips another one onto the ground, freeing the sword from his grip. An attacker swings his blade down. Meanwhile, the kneeling Algren's chest heaves with heavy breaths. In the fight, he deflects his attacker's blow and spins to his feet. He slices through two of the assailants' bodies. Blood spurts from their wounds. Meanwhile, one of the injured assailants gets up behind the kneeling Algren. In the fight, the captain vanquishes his last opponent with two blades. Now Algren pivots off his knees and strikes the sword from his rising foe's hands. The samurai are finished. Algren drives a sword across the assailant's throat. As he collapses, his head rolls free from his body. Now guards patrol the grounds outside Katsumoto's house. Three others stand posted at the front gate. Seeing a pair of rickshaws approach, one of the guards steps forth from the gate. Algren and Graham sit in one rickshaw while the other lies empty. The guard spreads his arms. Stop, don't come any closer.
Stop. Whatever you do, don't stop.
Graham holds up a document. Minister Amor has commanded us to photograph the traitor. Stop! Somebody! Bring that equipment here now, immediately! You stop. The guard draws his sword. You insolent, useless son of a peasant dog. Ogryn shoves Graham forward. How dare you show your sword in his presence? Do you know who this is? This is the President of the United States of America. He is here to lead our armies in victorious battle against the rebels. It is not my responsibility. Now get over there and help those men with their equipment. The guard sheepishly lowers his sword and faces his comrades. Carry the equipment. They bow and comply.
President of the United States?
Sorry. I think I'm going to be sick.
They enter, follow the guard past the gate, and cross a narrow footbridge to a guarded door. Soldiers snap to attention. Graham takes his camera. Inside, Katsumoto turns as Ogryn and Graham enter.
How's your poem coming?
Katsumoto turns and stares at Ogryn.
The end is proving difficult.
This is Mr. Simon Graham. He'd like very much to take your photograph.
Koi des. I thought you returned to America.
I decided to stay. See if I could convince you to escape.
How do you plan to do that?
Ogryn opens a door. The guard falls into the room. Ujio, wearing work clothes, tips his cap and hands out swords.
Mr. Graham?
Perhaps you would care to take pictures of my village.
I would be greatly honored.
They turn toward approaching shadows, then head out another door. A guard with a rifle approaches. Ogryn somersaults under his aim and slashes him with his sword. As he kicks the guard into the river, other riflemen run up and take aim. As Ogryn and his friends scurry back inside the house, bullets spray the walls around them. As the guards lower their weapons to reload, an arrow pierces one's neck and another falls with an arrow in his back. Nobutada runs across the footbridge and takes cover behind a corner of the house. More soldiers take position and aim rifles. Nobutada draws his bow, steps out, shoots, and ducks back behind the corner. One by one, he takes out the riflemen. As they scramble across the footbridge, bullets fly past Katsumoto and his men. The silent samurai and the cow fire arrows from the far side, dropping the soldiers. Nobutada drops a soldier aiming at the escapees, then runs onto the bridge. Katsumoto's eyes widen. He turns to see his son lying on the footbridge. As he lunges back, Ujio restrains him. My lord, no. More bullets strike the bridge near Nobutada as he crawls toward his father. Ogryn crouches at the bridge as soldiers take aim. Ogryn dashes toward Nobutada and the other archers drop more soldiers. As Ogryn helps Nobutada across the bridge, more soldiers round the house. Puffs of smoke rise from bullet impacts. As arrows find their mark, felling two more men, the remaining soldiers retreat. Katsumoto faces his wounded son as blood dribbles from his mouth. Nobutada gazes up at Katsumoto, shakes his head, and closes his eyes. Subtitles. Father, let me stay. It is my time. As Katsumoto's eyes well with tears, soldiers rally together alongside the house. The cow and the silent samurai take aim. As soldiers fall, Katsumoto crouches over his son. Ujio leans close. My lord, we must go. Katsumoto suddenly pulls Nobutada to his feet and braces him against a tree. He cups the youth's cheek beside his long, untied hair and peers intensely into his eyes. Nobutada gazes back and gives a curt nod. Katsumoto's brow furrows sternly and he retreats. Graham, Ogryn, Ujio, and the others follow, leaving Nobutada standing alone against the tree. As the soldiers start across the bridge, Nobutada springs from behind the tree, shooting arrow after arrow. Ogryn turns back as the soldiers fire on the young samurai. Nobutada draws a sword in each hand and charges them. young warrior's body jerks as he stands in front of the soldiers holding his weapons and outstretched arms. He slowly sinks to his knees, then falls face down on the bridge as a half dozen soldiers continue firing on him. Algren runs off. Now on a grassy plain, the samurai ride against a cloudy evening sky. Later at a campfire, Katsumoto sits with Algren.
The Emperor could not hear my words. His army will come. It is the end.
Firelight flickers on their faces.
For 900 years, my ancestors have protected our people. Now, I have failed them.
Katsumoto rubs his thumb against the scabbard of a sheathed sword leaning against his shoulder. Algren watches. The captain eyes him soberly.
So you will take your own life. Shame.
Katsumoto lowers his gaze toward the fire.
Shame for a life of service, discipline, compassion.
The way of the samurai is not necessary anymore.
Necessary? What could be more necessary?
Katsumoto stares blankly.
I will die by the sword. My all. Or my enemies.
Then let it be your enemies.
Katsumoto slowly turns his gaze toward Algren.
Together, we will make the Emperor hear you.
Katsumoto stares at the Westerner. Morning. The samurai ride a trail through foothills. Katsumoto leads them astride his white horse. In the village, Taka stands with other women on a cliff, watching the warriors return. As they draw nearer, the women inch closer and Taka draws a deep breath. Nighttime. In her house, Taka and Higan sit with Algren. Subtitles. He was a good man. Will you fight the white men too? If they come here, yes. Why? Because they come to destroy what I have come to love. Higan sadly looks away, then walks from the room. The way of samurai is difficult for children. He misses his father. And he is angry because I am the cause of that. Taka gazes at him, then smiles. No. He is angry because he fears you will die as well. Higan sits on the porch, his legs dangling over the edge. Algren approaches. His hand tugs the hem of his vest. As the young boy glances over, the captain leans against a column. Both gaze into the distance. A subtitle. My father taught me it is glorious to die in battle. That is what he believed. Algren crouches beside Higan, resting his elbow on one knee. I would be afraid to die in battle. So would I. The boy slowly faces him. But you have been in many battles. Algren nods faintly. But I was always afraid. Higan's eyes well up. I don't want you to go. Nakao steps over. They are coming. Algren turns toward the gruff samurai, then gazes off. As Higan watches the captain, a tear rolls down the boy's cheek. They share a long look, then Algren draws close. He cradles him in his arms and presses his chin tightly to the boy's head. Higan shuts his eyes. Now a bird's eye view of the valley below the village shows a multitude of speck-like figures in orderly formations. Ogren and Katsumoto patrol the hillside above.
I'd say two full regiments. They'll come in waves of 1,000. And they have the howitzers.
It makes no difference. They will come and we will make our stand.
How many men will we have?
Maybe 500. Like General Custer, huh?
Katsumoto shoots Ogren a sly look.
There was once a battle at a place called Thermopylae. 300 brave Greeks held off a Persian army of 1,000,000 men. A million, you understand this number?
I understand this number.
For 2 days, the Greeks made them pay so dearly, the Persian army lost all taste for battle and were defeated soon after.
What do you have in mind?
Take away the advantage of their guns. We're overconfident we'll use that. Lure them close. Close enough for a sword.
You believe a man can change his destiny?
Ogren squints against a brisk wind.
Agamemnon does what he can until his destiny is revealed.
Now a group of samurai ride horses. Others pack pickets with straw. Still, more inspect swords.
May 25th, 1877. This will be the last entry in this journal. I've tried to give a true accounting of what I have seen, what I've done. I do not presume to understand the course of my life. I know I am grateful to have partaken of all this, even if for a moment.
Men ladle hot black oil onto large balls of straw. A dozen samurai pose for Graham's camera. As a bearded man sharpens a sword on a stone, standard bearers run past. Hands chisel Japanese characters into a blade. As Katsumoto reviews his warriors, they bow. Now the swordsmith inspects the polished blade. Ujio practices maneuvers with a fan. Meanwhile, Katsumoto places a dagger in the folds of Higen's robe. As an archer tests a bowstring, Ujio twirls the fan with deft swipes. Elsewhere, Ogren sits calmly, light bathing his unblinking face. In the temple, the golden Buddha statue looks down on Katsumoto, who sits with his hands folded. On a field, Ujio draws his sword. Meanwhile, Ogren gazes intently beneath a window where light spills through. Dusk. Tiny lights dot the village hillside. Two sentries stand silhouetted against the darkening sky. Ogren gazes toward a distant pink horizon. Later in Taka's house, he carries a 3-foot-long rolled-up paper. He gazes across the room. Through a half-open door, he spies Taka turning as she dresses in a red kimono. They share a long look through the narrow gap. Then Ogren drops his gaze. Clutching her robe at her chest, Taka kneels and slides the door shut. Ogren hesitates, then steps away. Dawn. A brilliant sunrise burns over the horizon, filling the sky with a warm orange glow. On the porch of Taka's house, the silent samurai shifts on his feet. Inside, Taka gazes pensively. Elsewhere, Katsumoto's silhouette prays at his shrine. In his room, Ogren awakens and rises from the floor. The widow sees him cross a hall.
Ogren-san.
Ogren-san, will you come with me?
こちら.
She spreads her arm before her open door. Ogren slowly comes forward. In her room, Taka kneels on the floor beside her late husband's armor. As Ogren reaches the doorway, soft light edges his face. Taka gazes off. If you wear this armor, it will honor us. Ogren takes a step, then hesitates. Taka straightens and approaches. They gaze longingly at one another. Reaching forward, Taka's hand pulls the sash from the waist of Ogren's light blue robe. Standing behind Ogren, Taka slips the garment from his shoulders, exposing his nude, muscular torso. The captain glances off to the side as Taka kneels. He faces forward into the room's dim light. The widow approaches with a light gray robe. She drapes it over his shoulders, her hands grazing the smooth, clean cloth. As her hand brushes his shoulder, she steps around to face him. Gazing longingly into Algren's eyes, she folds the garment closed and kneels. Taking his hand, Taka presses it over the robe's fold. She smiles softly. Now she fits a heavier black robe over the first. She smooths its fabric and lays a sash upon his shoulder. As Taka leans in, wrapping it around him, her gaze meets his. They stare deeply into each other's eyes. Their faces slowly draw closer, and their lips linger in a kiss. As they separate, Taka chastely lowers her gaze from Algren's intense stare. Blinking demurely, she steps behind him. Under her mournful brow, her lips tighten. Leaning forward, she tenderly rests her head on Algren's back. The captain gazes off resolutely. Outside, the bearded swordsmith leaves his workshop. Bowing before Katsumoto, he offers up the sheathed weapon. The samurai leader draws it partway from its scabbard and reads the inscription near the hilt. Katsumoto lifts his eyes toward his sister's house. Algren steps into the light wearing the red armor of Taka's husband.
Ade!
With a stern expression, Ujio ascends the porch steps. Dressed in his own blue-scaled armor, he looks Algren up and down. Meeting the American's expectant gaze, Ujio reaches forward, grips the side of Algren's breastplate, and gives it a firm tug. The long-haired samurai nods and looks off. Algren descends the porch steps and crosses the yard, where Katsumoto stands before his assembled army. He offers up the sheathed sword.
You will need this.
The captain grips the weapon and draws it. As he holds the blade aloft, he studies it closely. Turning it around by the hilt, he notices the inscription.
What does it say?
I belong to the warrior in whom the old ways have joined the new.
Algren bows. Turning on his heel, Katsumoto fiercely eyes his troops and raises his own sword. The others respond in kind with blade, bow, standard, and spear. Now, riding side by side, Katsumoto and Algren lead the samurai through the Torii Gate. Villagers standing along the road keep their heads respectfully lowered as the horsemen pass, kicking up dust. Taka bows near Higen and Magujiro. Warriors on foot bring up the rear, carrying banners. Now, Algren, Katsumoto, and Ujio lead the samurai along a sloping field. Hundreds of standard bearers charge forth. At the foot of a distant hill facing them, row upon row of Imperial riflemen stand at attention, clad in blue uniforms. A few horsemen break their ranks and gallop forward. Katsumoto and Algren approach on their steeds. They meet Bagley, Omura, and the mustached lieutenant in the center of the field.
Good God.
Gazing at Algren's red armor, the colonel gapes.
Sir, the Imperial Army of Japan demands your surrender. If you and your fellows lay down your arms, you will not be harmed.
This is not possible, as Mr. Omura knows.
Wearing cavalry officer's dress, Omura bows to Katsumoto.
Captain Algren, we will show you no quarter. You ride against us, and you are the same as they are.
I'll look for you on the field.
Reining their horses around, the men ride back to their respective armies. Against the sprawling half-mile field, the riders appear as tiny specks. Katsumoto and Algren reach the front lines, where soldiers in bell-shaped helmets stand behind the straw-laden pickets. As men steady their horses, the two friends dismount.
Captain Algren.
Mr. Graham.
Algren removes his pouch from a saddlebag and hands it to the translator.
Perhaps you can use these for your book.
He claps him on the shoulder.
Yes, I will. Captain!
Algren turns.
Godspeed.
Mr. Graham.
Graham watches Algren trudge off.
They die!
Meanwhile, an officer faces the Emperor's soldiers, who simultaneously place their rifles at their sides. Bagley leads Omura and the lieutenant up a hill. Below them, several thousand soldiers wait in formation. Graham traipses to a high vantage overlooking the samurai army. Ujio leads a squad of others forward and meets Katsumoto. Well, they won't surrender. The leader eyes the vast imperial army. Are we ready? Ujio glares and puts on his horned helmet. Get into your positions. As Ujio strides off, a column of warriors peels off the ranks and follows. Omura and Bagley lower the binoculars, staring curiously. Algren ascends a rise at the field's edge. Now the Imperial soldiers grip their rifles, unsheath their bayonets, and fix them onto the weapons' barrels. As both armies stand at attention, Katsumoto joins Algren's side. Steely determination burns in the eyes of the samurai. As the riflemen point their bayonets skyward, Graham, Algren, and Bagley each observe from their separate overlooks. Omura's lieutenant glances at a row of cannons, then receives his order.
Miss!
Smoke billows from the cannons. The shots make landfall just yards shy of the rows of samurai. As the smoke clears, the samurai remain motionless. One of Amur's artillerymen shouts. The gunners raise the cannon barrels. Katsumoto and Algren swap a look, then Algren nods to the signalman. Mounted samurai ride forth with torches. As the soldiers resume fire, a blast hits to the rear of the samurai, throwing one man upward. The rest scramble. Amid the scattering smoke and dirt, the mounted samurai make a pass in front of their ranks and ignite the bundled straw pickets. Another round of cannon fire tears into the samurai formations. Katsumoto observes sternly. He and Algren head off. Now Bagley watches through his binoculars. The samurai hasten away.
They're covering their retreat.
See, even the mighty samurai cannot stand up to the howitzers. Signal the attack.
I'd advise sending in skirmishers first.
Nonsense! Full attack!
The samurai follow a dirt road around a bend behind their original position. On an officer's order, hundreds of Amur's infantrymen cross the battlefield. The view from Amur's hilltop shows six battalions marching ahead, leaving a dozen other battalions behind. Back on the dirt road, the samurai hurry forward. Archers sprint across the sunny grass, and warriors bearing poles veer into a gully. Katsumoto observes their movements, then steps away. On the other side of the hill, Omura's troops pass the burning pickets and reach the dirt road. The Western garbed army squeezes onto the narrow road as they round the hill and approach a second clearing. On its far end, Algren and the samurai lie unseen on the back slope of a low, grassy ridge. Algren keeps low as he jogs past dozens of crouched warriors. Joining Katsumoto, he nods.
They're coming.
As the dense column of gunmen pour into the clearing, they split into two lines and spread out. Far ahead of them, log palisades crown the ridge, spanning the entire width of the gentle slope. Katsumoto and Algren listen intently. Behind the palisade barriers, dozens of samurai archers stand at the ready. Omura's infantrymen form ranks, then aim their rifles. Algren faces Katsumoto.
Wait for the volley.
The stern leader nods. Shots rip through the palisades and hit several samurai. Another line of riflemen takes aim.
Second volley.
More samurai crumble as shots penetrate the wooden barriers. Now Amura's men advance. Algren nods to the signalman, who holds up a red-marked paddle. An archer looks to an older bowman. The bowman draws back on a flame-tipped arrow, then lets it fly. Algren watches it arc high over the clearing and land among the oil-covered balls of straw. fire surges upward and spreads instantly behind the advancing riflemen. The blaze sets dozens of the soldiers on fire and cuts off others filing down the dirt road. As a curtain of black smoke churns skyward, the confused infantrymen turn and scatter in different directions. Bagley uses binoculars.
What on earth?
What is happening?
On the hidden battlefield, a soldier points toward the top of the ridge. As many Imperial troopers resume their march, the samurai archers aim skyward. Dozens of warriors draw back on their bows. The signalman lowers the colored paddle. Scores of arrows arc skyward, then rain down on Amuro's men. The arrows riddle the gunmen. One man gets struck above the eye. The archers reload. They release a second wave of arrows. Now Bagley sees a soldier wave a flag on the distant hilltop. The flag shows a white square on a red field.
The attack has been stopped.
Send in the rest of the regiment.
Bagley and the mustached lieutenant gape. As arrows riddle soldiers, Katsumoto leans to Algren.
What happened to the warriors at Thermopylae?
Dead to the last man.
The two warriors smile. They draw their swords and charge. As they race forward, the remaining infantrymen take aim with their rifles as they advance at a walking pace. Several samurai crumble amid the barrage. The gunshots easily penetrate their armor. As both forces advance, closing the gap, Omura's men break into a sprint. A few gunshots fly, then the sides engage in hand-to-hand combat. Bayonets jab warriors, samurai blades slice riflemen. Running at full speed, Algren checks one gunman to the ground. Katsumoto slashes a soldier's chest. A trooper slams his rifle butt into a samurai's face. As the field swarms with combat, Algren and Katsumoto each run a man through. Another samurai hacks a soldier to the ground, then two get shot through their breastplates. Now the silent samurai cuts a man's throat, then spots a rifleman aiming at Algren. The silent samurai blocks the shot. He falters briefly, then smites the offender. Algren watches his friend collapse. Katsumoto impales an attacker. A downward hack from Algren cuts through a man's upheld rifle and bisects the man's face. A fresh battalion arrives. Distracted, Algren takes a shot to the leg. As he drops to one knee, two soldiers charge. Wielding two blades, Algren slices their necks. Katsumoto takes down two soldiers, but a third stabs his side. He thrusts back. His sword enters the man's shoulder and exits out the other. The newly arrived gunmen fire. Several samurai fall. Spinning, Algren skewers a gunman behind him, then kicks him off with a reverse roundhouse. The signalman waves, and mounted samurai ride in. Now a gunman targets Algren, who shields himself with another soldier. Algren frees his blade from the one man's gut and stabs the shooter. As Ujio leads the charge on horseback, Algren smiles. Katsumoto screams in reply. He grins. From a nearby ridge, dozens more samurai on foot charge forward. A row of Imperial soldiers fires, dropping only a few. The rest engage the gunmen. Astride his steed, Ujio spears one soldier, but another bayonets his horse. Ujio gets thrown from his mount. Drawing his sword, he relentlessly slaughters soldier after soldier. A mounted samurai in a black mask leads the other riders through, delivering fatal blows as they pass. The horde of clashing men cover the field like a swarm of insects. Amid the chaos, Nakao sinks a spear into a man's gut. Ujio lances a gunman from behind, and the rifle fires into the sky. Katsumoto wrathfully purses his lips as he runs a kneeling man through, while Algren slits throats. Blood pours from gashes and bullet holes. Blades cross with bayonets. Algren bares his teeth in a berserk grimace as he and Katsumoto slash wildly. Now, in slow motion, Algren looks around in a daze. He sees Nakao get shot. Katsumoto scans the field. Spilled blood stains the grass under the men dropping all around them. As the bugler sounds off, most of the Imperial troopers pull back over the hill. Uhura and Bagley watch the retreat.
Son of a bitch thinks he can win.
A bloody-faced gunman shoots Ujio from behind. As he drops to his knees, fellow samurai run to him. Ujio brushes off their help. He spits blood and plods onward. Through the smoke, an Imperial flag's red sun and its many rays flutter. A fleeing infantryman steps on the back of a fellow soldier struggling on the ground. A wounded samurai falls away from a sword stuck into the earth. Now, sprawled across the battlefield, the horde of wounded lies mostly still. A dozen able-bodied samurai comb the site for their fallen men. Ogryn stands motionless, looking across the field. Arrows jut from slumped soldiers and blades of grass wave in the breeze, poking up from few places between the hundreds of bodies. Katsumoto approaches Ogryn's side. They stare out over the massacre.
They'll bring two more regiments up here soon. We won't be able to stop them again.
You do not have to die here.
I should have died so many times before.
Now you live again.
Yes.
It was not your time.
It's not over.
Katsumoto cuts short a faint smile, then matches Ogryn in a solemn nod. Now, riders gallop through smoke bearing the tall banners of the samurai. Uhura and Bagley lower their binoculars. Uhura's eyes narrow and his jaw stiffens. In the haze over the first battlefield, dozens of mounted samurai line up in front of the burning pickets. Ogryn and Ujio wait on either side of Katsumoto. A single line of determined warriors spans the width of the field. On the opposing hilltop beside Uhura, the mustached lieutenant stares down at them.
What is this?
Cannon, prepare to fire. Prepare to fire. Uhura looks to Bagley.
Madness. He's going to attack?
Yes.
Across the field, Katsumoto and Ogryn squint plainly ahead. Ujio eyes his foes, his face matted with blood.
He's defeated! He must accept his shame!
Katsumoto turns his blood-splattered face to Ogryn. As the wind rustles his hair, the captain nods. Katsumoto and Ujio draw their swords. Uhura eyes Bagley.
Kill him. All of them. Now!
The colonel brushes past, planting his binoculars against Amur's chest.
My horse!
Shrouded in smoke, the line of samurai horsemen stretches across the plain. Ujio and Katsumoto's stoic faces peer out through the thick haze. Beside them, Ogryn's gaze matches their own. Wind whips the standard bearer's banners. Katsumoto raises his sword and points it forward. In slow motion, Katsumoto's white steed trots ahead. His troops follow, bouncing in the saddle as they proceed forward. Uhura peers intently, surveying their approach. Ogryn draws his sword, keeping it raised as he rides beside Katsumoto. Comrades in arms lead a full-speed charge. Behind them, warriors point their blades forward. As the samurai horsemen sweep across the field, Bagley rides his mount between two columns of riflemen. Uhura barks an order. Fiery blasts from half a dozen howitzers issue forth. On the field, the smoky projectiles tear up the turf, showering dirt on charging warriors. Cannon fire trips up horses who stumble atop their riders. One mount falls to his back, legs kicking the air. With their swords held high, Ujio, Katsumoto, and Ogryn spur their horses on through the explosions. A riderless steed passes under a cresting wave of scattered dirt. Nearby, the Emperor's riflemen assemble around Bagley, who points his pistol aloft. soldiers fix their bayonets forward. Bagley levels his pistol on the oncoming rush of samurai. Omura stares uncertainly. The riflemen follow Bagley's first shot with a barrage of rounds, knocking samurai from their saddles. As the warriors continue their attack, smoke plumes from the riflemen's weapons. Ujio grimaces as shots to his torso spatter blood upward. Ujio's sword flies from his hand, then his horse falls to its side, throwing him to the dirt. His gun hand trembling, Bagley stares down the onrushing Katsumoto and Algren. His shot grazes Katsumoto's shoulder. As the colonel aims again, Algren deftly grips his sword and hurls it. It strikes Bagley full on in the chest. Now the stampeding horses break the front line of uniformed gunmen. As their mounts trample soldiers, the samurai slash at others with their swords. The warriors plow through to the rear of the army, leaving Imperial riflemen standing in disarray. As the line of horsemen heads toward the slope, Omura shouts to the lieutenant. Bring up the new guns, the subordinate calls out. Prepare the new guns. Soldiers wield two multi-chamber Gatling guns beside the howitzers, Omura shouts. Fire. A soldier struggles to fit a tall magazine in a slot behind the barrels. Hunched over, Omura fearfully watches the oncoming warriors. Quickly, quickly. In slow motion, Katsumoto and Algren grimace as they rush forward. Fire. The gunner turns a crank and the chambers rotate. As the charging horses pull up short, the riders fall backward under the onslaught of bullets. Warriors fly from the saddle as bullets strike their armor. In continuing slow motion, horses vault over fallen riders and steeds. As the Gatling gun barrels steadily rotate, shots strike Katsumoto's breastplate. As the gunner cranks, a bullet nicks Algren's shoulder. One finds its bloody mark splashing through Katsumoto's armor. The mustache lieutenant looks on sadly. A shot to his hand blows Katsumoto's sword from his grip. Struck again in the shoulder, Algren leans back. Katsumoto slumps, spurting blood. Omura watches the samurai leader fly from his still-charging mount. As horsemen tumble, Algren's steed collapses under him. Unblinkingly, the lieutenant gazes stoically at the tangle of men and horses below. A gunner's view shows smoke wafting around the falling horses as the bullets riddle around their targets. Lying on his side, Algren clutches his sword. He struggles to raise himself. Dismounted samurai's bodies heave under a barrage of bullets. Algren slowly props himself on one elbow. As normal time resumes, warriors stagger and drop by their fallen comrades. Omura stares transfixed as bullets strike the turf around Algren. The captain glances at Katsumoto, struggling to rise. Swallowing hard, the lieutenant bites his lips and fights back tears. Algren drags himself to Katsumoto. Wincing, the samurai leader doubles up. The captain drops beside him. The lieutenant barks out. Stop firing. Omura glares. Idiots, keep on firing. Stop firing. Stop. Wide-eyed, Omura faces his subordinate. As Katsumoto's trembling hand grips the hilt of his sword, Algren grabs his wrist.
No.
Omura spits as he yells.
Katsumoto,
shoot! There! Kill Katsumoto! Kill the American! Katsumoto meets Algren's gaze.
You have your honor again. Let me die with mine.
Splotches of blood cover the samurai leader's shaved head. Algren's gaze lingers, nodding faintly. He withdraws his hand from his friend's.
Help me up.
Crouching, the captain slings his arm under Katsumoto's and boosts him to his feet. The samurai braces one hand on Algren's shoulder and holds his sword in the other. Blood leaks from large bullet holes on the back of his breastplate.
Are you ready?
Open-mouthed, Katsumoto steadies his gaze on his friend. Algren's mouth parts in a smile. The samurai warrior grits his teeth. With Algren's hand over his, he plunges the sword toward his own torso. As Katsumoto straightens against Algren, the grimacing samurai gazes over his friend's shoulder. A view from above shows him slumping into the captain's arms. As the lieutenant fights back tears, a line of riflemen cross the field cautiously. The soldiers encircle the two friends. With his chin nestled against the samurai's shoulder, Ogryn stares off. Katsumoto's twitching mouth relaxes into a faint smile. In the distance, pink blossoms drift from a wide-limbed cherry tree. The samurai watches them float through the air.
Perfect.
With eyelids fluttering, Katsumoto slumps from the embrace. Ogryn rests him on his side.
They are perfect.
As the friends gaze deeply into each other's eyes, Katsumoto sinks onto his back. Ogryn lingers over him. On the ridge, the lieutenant watches, sniffling. He swallows hard, then removes his billed officer's cap. With his back turned to the setting sun, the lieutenant slowly sinks to his knees. Omura watches as one by one, the soldiers around the howitzers and Gatling guns remove their hats. Placing his hands in front of him, the lieutenant bends forward, his forehead an inch from the grass. A semicircle of soldiers also kneel and bow. Nearby, standard bearers tilt Japanese flags forward. Riflemen kneel before scattered bodies littering the field. Ogryn lifts his blood-speckled face toward the riflemen who pay homage, their brows to the grass. Beneath a hazy veil of smoke, the soldiers bow before the fallen samurai. Ogryn scans the soldiers with gritted teeth. A view from above shows a sea of prostrate soldiers encircling him. Far from the battlefield, Graham watches soberly. Ogryn glances downward at Katsumoto's stiffly raised arm, still gripping the sword's hilt, then slowly lowers his head. With a satchel slung over each shoulder, Graham walks away towards sloping hills in the distance, now in the Emperor's throne room.
On behalf of the United States of America, the signing of this treaty will usher in an era of unprecedented prosperity and cooperation between our two great nations.
A door opens.
On behalf of the Emperor, we are pleased to have successfully concluded this...
A servant wearing black and white formal attire runs in and bows.
Negotiation.
Omura and the American ambassador trade uneasy glances. The round-faced councilman listens in as the servant whispers to Emperor Meiji. The Emperor speaks. He's here? A figure appears in the doorway. Ogryn stands in his officer's uniform, holding a slender bundle wrapped in fabric. Seeing the Emperor's blank stare, Omura gestures politely for Ogryn to enter. As the captain steps into the room, dragging one leg, Graham appears in the doorway behind him. Dignitaries stand frozen on either side of the long carpet as Ogryn limps past. Omura leans into the Emperor. The bearded councilman looks back at Ogryn, who bows. Omura shifts uneasily as the captain continues his approach. Emperor Meiji rises. With stiff movements, Ogryn falls to one knee, sets down the bundle, and prostrates himself. His cavalry sword hangs sheathed at his hip. Meiji approaches. Highness, if we could just conclude the matter at hand. Ogryn holds up the bundle and pulls away the fabric. Underneath, Katsumoto's samurai sword lies in its ebony sheath. Emperor Meiji stands still. Using two hands, Ogryn raises the sword horizontally to his eye level. As the captain bows his head, Meiji takes a deep breath. Ogryn gently lowers the samurai weapon, his eyes fixed in a reverent gaze.
This is Katsumoto's sword. He would have wanted you to have it. Let the strength of the samurai be with you always.
Omura speaks. Enlightened One, we all weep for Katsumoto, but...
He hoped, with his last breath, that you would remember the ancestors who held this sword. And what they died for.
The Emperor kneels before Ogryn.
Hiko!
Your Highness! The captain holds his head bowed as Meiji gingerly lifts the sword from his hands. Gripping it tightly, the Emperor takes a deep breath. He levels his gaze on Ogryn.
You were with him? At the end?
Aye.
Meiji regards the sword.
Emperor, this man fought against you!
As the Emperor runs his hands along the sheath, Ogryn eyes him tearfully.
Your Highness, if you believe me to be your enemy, command me, and I will gladly take my life.
Meiji purses his lips as the captain averts his gaze. The Emperor stands and faces the two lines of dignitaries.
I have dreamed of a unified Japan. Of a country strong and independent and modern. And now we have railroads and canal, western clothing. But
he lifts Katsumoto's sword.
We cannot forget who we are. Or where we come from.
Ogryn and the dignitaries watch closely as Emperor Meiji gazes thoughtfully at the sword. The Emperor lifts his gaze to the room of onlookers.
Ambassador Swanbeck, I have concluded that your treaty is not in the best interest of my people.
Amur stares warily.
Sir, if I may, so sorry. But you may not.
This is an outrage!
The American ambassador and his aide leave the throne room. Amur faces the Emperor.
Hiccup!
Enlightened one, we should discuss this. Amur, you have done quite enough. Everything I have done, I have done for my country. Then you will not mind when I seize your family's assets and present them as my gift to the people. You disgrace me. If your shame is too unbearable. Meiji holds out Katsumoto's sword. Amur appears worriedly at it. Meiji keeps the sword extended at arm's length. I offer you the sword. Amur bows and backs away, shambling awkwardly as he steps off the throne platform. He and the other dignitaries keep their heads bowed. Still on his knees before the Emperor, Ogryn stifles tears. Emperor Meiji looks down and meets Ogryn's somber gaze. Holding the sword in front of him, the Emperor kneels. Ogryn bows his head. Meiji gazes at Katsumoto's weapon, then faces Ogryn.
Tell me how he died.
Ogryn straightens and meets the Emperor's gaze.
I will tell you how he lived.
The Emperor gives a slight and somber nod. Our view slowly backs away from the two men kneeling face to face.
And so the days of the samurai had ended. Nations, like men, it is sometimes said, have their own destiny. As for the American captain, no one knows what became of him. Some say that he died of his wounds. Others that he returned to his own country. But I like to think he may have at last found some small measure of peace that we all seek and few of us ever find.
Now on a grassy plain by the mountain village, Ogryn walks a horse past thatched roofed houses. A few people sit by their homes working. One villager carries two pails of water on a long yoke. Ogryn crosses the grass to a road. In the village, a gray-haired woman carries greens past a garden where Taka chops the soil with a hoe. Higen and Magujiro sit near her helping. As Taka pauses to brush loose strands of hair off her cheeks, she glances toward the road. Ogryn stands at the fence, watching. Taka's hand settles on the lapel of her robe as she meets his gaze. Behind him, his sheathed samurai sword lies across his saddle. Ogryn's unwavering gaze lingers on Taka. Fade to black. Directed by Edward Zwick. Screenplay by John Logan and Edward Zwick and Marshall Herskovitz. Story by John Logan. Produced by Marshall Herskovitz and Edward Zwick. Produced by Tom Cruise and Paula Wagner. Produced by Scott Krupf and Tom Engelman. Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai. Ken Watanabe. Timothy Spall. Billy Connolly. Tony Goldwyn. Hiroyuki Sanada. Masato Harada. Koyuki. William Atherton. Shun Sagata. Shin Koyamada. Scott Wilson. Togo Agawa. Shishinosuke Nakamura. Executive producers Ted Field and Rick Solomon. Executive producer Vincent Ward. Executive producer Charles Mulvihill. Director of photography John Toll, ASC. Production designer Lily Kilvert. Edited by Steven Rosenblum, ACE, and Victor Dubois. Costume designer Nagila Dixon. Music by Hans Zimmer. Visual effects supervisor Jeffrey A. Okun. Associate producers Graham J. Larson, Michael Dovin, Yoko Narahashi. Casting by Victoria Thomas, a Warner Brothers Pictures presentation. A Radar Pictures Bedford Falls Company production. A Cruise Wagner production. An Edward Zwick film. Unit production managers Kevin DeLanois, Charles Mulvihill. First assistant director Nilo Otero. Second assistant director Alan Kupetsky. Cast: Ken Watanabe as Katsumoto, Tom Cruise as Nathan Algren, William Atherton as Winchester Rep, Chad Lindberg as Winchester Rep Assistant, Ray Godshall Sr. as Convention Hall Attendee, Billy Connolly as Zebulon Gant, Tony Goldwyn as Colonel Bagley, Masato Harada as Omura, Masashi Odate as Omura's Companion, John Koyama as Omura's Bodyguard, Timothy Spall as Simon Graham, Shishinosuke Nakamura as Emperor Meiji, Togo Igawa as General Hasegawa, Satoshi Nakaido as NCO, Shintaro Wada as Young Recruit, Shin Koyamada as Nobutada, Hiroyuki Sanada as Ujio, Shun Sagata as Nakao, Ko Yuki as Taka, Sosuke Ikematsu as Higen, Aoi Minato as Magojiro, Seizo Fukumoto as Silent Samurai, Shoji Yoshihara as Swordmaster, Kosaburo Nomura IV as Kyogen Player No. 1, Takashi Noguchi as Kyogen Player No. 2, Noguchi Takayuki as Kyogen Player No. 3, Sven Torvald as Omura's Secretary, Scott Wilson as Ambassador Swanbeck, Yuki Matsuzaki as Soldier in Street No. 1, Mitsuyuki Oishi as Soldier in Street No. 2, Jiro Wada as Soldier in Street No. 3, Hiroshi Watanabe as guard, Yusuke Miochin as Swordmaster's assistant, Hiroaki Amano, Kenta Daibo, Koji Fuji, Makoto Hashiba, Shinpei Hori Nouchi, Takashi Kora, Shane Kusuji, Takishi Maya, Seiji Mori, Lee Moriyama, Takeru Shimizu, Shinji Suzuki, Hisao Takeda, Ryoichiro Yonikura, Ryoichi Noguchi as Samurai Ensemble, Stunt Coordinator Nick Powell, Assistant Stunt Coordinator Melissa R. Stubbs, Co-Fight Arranger Laro Chartrand, Stunt Doubles Casey O'Neill, Al Eisenman, Michael Lee, Larry Lamb, Paul Wu, Danny LeBoyer, Supervising Art Director Chris Burian Moore, Art Director Kim Sinclair, Set Designers Philip Thomas, Michael Smalley, Samuel J. Story, Set Decorating Props Coordinator Lori A. Lopez, Set Decorator Gretchen Rao, Assistant Set Decorator Kathy Lucas, Buyer Fred Palmer, Script Supervisor Jane N. Tegren, Still Photographer David James, Production Sound Mixer Jeff Wexler, Firing Weapons Coordinator Robert Rock Galati, Firing Weapons Specialist Dante Gentile, Vincent Flaherty, Armorer Gunnar Ashford, Cannon Master C. Robert Bob Gilmore, Cannoneer No. 1 Billy Butch Frank, Cannoneer No. 2 Doug Sloan, Cannoneer No. 3 Damon Taylor, Prop Master David Gulick, Japanese Prop Masters Yasuro Kamata, Shinobu Oda, Head Horse Wrangler Peter White, Key Wrangler Horse Trainer Bex Watts, Horse Trainer Graham Dolan, Horace Wranglers, Tracy Vickers, Graham Andrews, Sharon Bardsley, Bridget Brewer, Eileen Gopperth, Karen Kemsley, Duncan McNaughton, Jacqueline Penn, Lindley Schloem, Lindsay Tapp, Tracy Weaver. Horse Department Coordinator, Stephen Old. Animal Trainer, Jasmine Vett. Assistant Animal Trainer, Jabe Hura. Oxen Trainer, Doug Katow. Oxen Wrangler, Melvin Mete. Hero Horse made by Creature Effects. Makeup Department Head, Lois Burwell. Key Makeup Artist, Kenny Myers. Special Makeup Effects Department Head, Connor O'Sullivan. Special Makeup Effects Coordinator, James Allen. Prosthetic Makeup, Matthew Smith. Hair Department Head, Janice Alexander. Key Hairstylist, Terry Belio. Hairstylists, Karen Myers, Carol Pershing, Kimberly Spiteri, Colleen LaBaff. Wig Maker, Terry Jarvis. Lead Crowd Hairstylist, Stephen Rose. Crowd Hairstylist, Annie Townsend, Craig Argent. Costume Supervisor, Janice McEwen. Costume Manager, Chloe Smith. Mr. Cruise's Costumer, Kendall Arrere. Costume Coordinator, Bob Buck. Villager Costume Coordinator, Liz McGregor. Civilian Costume Coordinator, Hilary Niederer. Army Costume Coordinator, Leanne Mercer. Chainmail Assembly, Emma Peterson, Nicola Petri, Saskia Leek, Matt Johnstone, Nicola Rush, Olivia Johnson, James Cottle. Jewelers, Anna Wallace, Joanna Campbell, Jonathan Hopcroft, Sean O'Reilly. Blacksmiths, Graham Nixon, Warren Green. Japanese Doctor, Dr. Kenji Cho. Japanese Set Nurses, Kinu McCarthy, Ayako Nakayama, Yoshiko Yanase. Military Technical Advisor, Sergeant Major James D. Deaver. Assistant Military Technical Advisor, Daniel King. Project Consultants, Takayama Yo, Mark Schilling. Emperor's Costume Advisor, Yunehisa Sengoku. Los Angeles Unit, Set Designers, John P. Goldsmith, Anthony D. Perillo, Roy Barnes, James Bayless, Adrian Gorton, Ann Harris, Pate Strong Lord, Illustrator, Jim Oxford, Model Maker, Andrew Jones. Music score arranged and programmed by Hans Zimmer, Jeff Zanelli, Blake Neely, Clever Trevor Morris. Orchestrated by Bruce Fowler, Suzette Moriarty, Lad McIntosh. Conducted by Blake Neely. Music editor, Mark Streitenfeld. Score recorded by Alan Meyerson, Slam Andrews. Score mixed by Alan Meyerson. Musicians, Dolores Clay, Craig Eastman, Steve Erdody, Benjamin Hale, June Kuramoto, Emil Richards, Bill Shozanne Schultz, Fred Selden. Production Secretary, Mark Kelly. Office Production Assistants, Mark Siegel, Stacey Solomon. Staff Assistants, Moanike Ala Nakamoto, Bettina Lynch. Location Manager, Richard Davis. DGA Trainee, Lisa Chu Dietz. Japanese Technical Advisor, George Sukahira. Casting Associate, Kim Coleman. Casting Assistant, Nicole Abalera. Extras Casting, Amy Pope, Marianne Lee. Soundtrack Album on Warner Sunset Records Elektra Entertainment, WMG Soundtracks. Kagura no Notori, performed by Tokyo Gakuso, courtesy of Columbia Music Entertainment Incorporated. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. This motion picture, copyright 2003, Warner Brothers Entertainment Incorporated.